Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Smashbox TV's podcast 432. Terry Miller, the disc golf guy, alongside Johnny V.
How you doing, Terry Miller?
Super duper.
That's awesome.
Yeah, here with some action. Of course, just getting over a big weekend. Well, not of course, maybe for some. For me.
For you.
Over a big weekend down in Florida.
Most of us don't have the luxury of going to Florida.
Luxury, yes. Luxury it is.
I mean, you do a lot of work. No one's going to deny that. But
it's not exactly a vacation.
No, but you get to leave Wisconsin weather and at least enjoy a little bit of the luxuries of the nice Florida weather. Now you're putting in a lot of work, yep. One camera coverage, you know, getting them out same day, which is amazing. But it is still. I'll tell you what. I would rather do a 3 days of work doing that than mm-hmm. 3 days of work here in.
Well, yeah, that's.
So that is, again, no one's denying that you do. I'm fortunate enough to get to go to work once in a while in Florida, and I take every advantage I can when I do it, but it is a luxury. It's nice. I guess
that's one way to look at it. I am treated very well, and I love the entire Gainesville Chainhawk Club crew. Everything's great out there, so I very much do appreciate it. And it was even an extra day of work this year because I was honored to do the skins match.
Yeah.
We had a skins match leading into the event on Thursday, and I also filmed, recorded, and edited and put all of that up as well. So we're going to, of course, talk a little bit about that event. We're actually waiting on Double G here, hopefully soon, to be joining us. Now, I don't even know if he knows the story. So I'll quickly retell it. When we were going to have him on earlier in the year, I had reached out and I had texted him saying, hey, what do you think about the show? You know, Tuesday night, blah, blah, blah. He said, yep, great. Sounds good. We went back and forth. I forget exactly everything that was said, but we went back and forth and then completely ghosted on Tuesday night.
Well, how rude of him.
Yeah.
Really?
Because if there's one thing he's known for, it's just being a
rude. Double G stands for jerk.
Yeah. Even with a J.
I know how that works.
Well, come to find out, I had an old phone number and some a-hole was trolling me and was going along with the idea of being on the podcast, even though it wasn't, in fact, Double G's actual number. So we took the big L on that one. That was entirely my fault. This time, I've communicated with him back and forth via Facebook. So even though he has had 3 or 4 Facebooks throughout the years, I know he's been locked out of a few. Hopefully, we're going to have him on here soon. We'll talk about what all went down at the Chainhawk Open 11 presented by Dynamic Disc that went on this weekend. There's a couple other PDGA events of medium to larger scale that went on. And then also some big news that unfolded. And we kind of talked about it last week. And ultimately, it comes to fruition with Callie McMorin talking about heading up, I, for lack of a better analogy, we'll say, is she the Jeff Spring now of the Masters Tour that now exists? So she is, in my opinion, the tour director. We'll,
yes.
We'll look for some official titling, and we'll see where she falls on that analogy or that comparison. But right now, she seems to be taking on the main leadership role and being in charge of that. We're going to talk with her tonight.
I got a lot of questions.
I do, too. And she said, she's like, well, I was on PDGA Radio. I'm like, that's cool. Nobody listens to that. No, I'm totally kidding. I was just on there.
It's on my list of things to listen to. I have not got a chance to listen to it yet.
Nor did I. And I was caught up in the middle of doing just that, being in Florida. So I've seen plenty of questions. I also made a very snarky post the other night that I've also seen plenty of stupid things said, whether it be assumptions or just flat out whining and complaining that somehow this still doesn't suit particular people. And
we know you can't make everybody happy.
Any clarifications that she wants to make tonight. So we're going to have Callie joining us as well. So looking forward to that. All right. Let's see if still waiting on Double G. And while we do that,
Double G for like double ghost. Yeah, he's going to ghost us again.
ghosting. I did get some information that I did want to pass along. Dustin Leatherman, the rest of the Paul McBeth Foundation and crew, we see that they're constantly talking about new things that they have going on, new upcoming projects and whatnot. And I know even just today, without being prompted, in the last couple of days, I saw that you can win a round of golf with Simon Lizotte. They're working on all sorts of stuff. But I want to give you a few quick specifics here that right now that if you go to, this is a link I'm going to put in the chat. It's out here off the Paul McBeth Foundation website, but it says that there are 24 items that are available. This supports current and upcoming projects. There's great experiences and game user items. So the thing,
there's like a round with Simon Lizotte.
Exactly. Yep.
An original grip bag.
It says also that we have a team. This is the Paul McBeth Foundation has a team leaving for Uganda tomorrow with Missy Gannon and Chandler Fry. So that's one of the next projects that is being worked on very soon, as in tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Next project is listed as Madrid, is another place where they're looking to do a course. And a big shout out to all the players and companies who are supporting the auctions. Bidding ends Sunday night. And I'm going to put a link right here that should let me post it. I've officially put a link right there, and when we click on that, you go to it. It talks about the year-end auction. They're hoping to raise $15,000. They're already at $9,400, and I think they're even putting up some additional incentives for tonight. Holy cow! So, private round with Simon Lizotte at Maple Hill so far has 10 bids, and it's up to $2,650. So, pretty cool. Grip bags, the Avery Jenkins experience. Well, I'm going to click on that. I can see what $800 might get me.
Well, yeah, what is the Avery Jenkins experience?
Let's
because I've hung out with Avery a few times, so I've gotten the Avery experience.
Did you have to pay him $800? No, he gives you a discount?
He gives me a discount, but not much.
You get to play in Oklahoma at the Moccasin Creek Disc Golf Course, along with three friends. The Lodge at Taylor Ranch is home to two tournament-level golf courses, so on and so forth. So that's listed within there. Currently, that sits at $800. Fishing experience with Adam Hammes and Tyler's Reel. Fishing. So that's pretty cool. Calvin Heimberg, Dylan Cease stuff is on there. 2023 Dynamic Disc Open Tournament Experience. A pack of six Luna, 6x6 Lunas. Yeah, there's a ton of
pretty awesome
Devo
things.
Experience, VIP tour experience for the Disc Golf Pro Tour, Dye Disc. There's a ton of really cool stuff out here. I think I said earlier, 24 different things. And then there was one more note that I'm going to quick mention here. For every $200 added to the total bids during the show, they'll give away an item of choice from our store to listeners. So they're currently at 9,500 and the goal is to get to 15K. So if you guys go out and bid it all up. Hope that somebody else will outbid you. No, bid it all up. And the more you guys and people bid up during the show tonight, they're going to actually give away stuff through our show. That sounds like a win-win for everybody. All right. Yes, it's a free year subscription to the Avery Jenkins OnlyFans account. And that is...
That's valuable in and of itself.
Where do I start bidding on that action? Okay. Let me click over here. So what we're going to do is we're going to lead off with a few of the details from the Chainhawk Open this weekend. Well, we'll gloss over the MPO action. But we saw that ultimately there was 264 players in attendance this weekend. 35 in the open division. We'll come back to them. But in FPO, there ended up being 11 women, which I think is a little bit more than they've had in the past few years. When it was all said and done through a great battle, I know it was very close actually throughout, and I'm going to have a little bit of footage from them. We saw Chloe Alice come out on top. She is your champion. Congratulations to her. She shot 4-under. Deanne Carey finished runner-up. And just behind her by a single stroke was Ellen Widboom. Ellen and Deanne, I think, jockeyed back and forth in positioning during that final round. But congrats. Those are your podium finishers there. We also saw that Jessica Weiss cashed. And then the Linz twins, both Morgan and Jordan, also both taking the cash. And, of course, they're professionals now, but taking the cash, of them slipping into the cash.
Is there plan to tour much more next year? I know they've kind of been...
I didn't get a chance to actually catch up with them and their scheduling.
Okay.
But I know they're playing a ton. I think they have one more event this year. Obviously, we've seen them battling throughout for the last couple of years and more of a force to be reckoned with every single weekend at these tournaments. It's crazy after all these tournaments that they continue to play. Rated 904. And 905. They are so dead even week in and week out. And then they always talk trash on social media to each other. I love it. Johnny McRae ultimately moved into the Pro Masters 40 and older this weekend. So for MP40, he ran away with it handedly with a 20 under, netting himself just a little over a grand for first place. And then last week's, this is incredible, last week's Patreon winner was at the tournament.
Yeah, I saw your post.
At the tournament, and he didn't even realize it. Somehow he wasn't caught up on listening to us.
What?
He's been a Patreon subscriber and supporter since 2017. He didn't even realize it just yet. And I said, I feel like we just called your name a few nights ago. And sure enough, we had. So Joseph Culp went on to finish second to Johnny McRae, which in some books probably feels a little bit like winning.
I would take that as a win.
Johnny, right? So Joseph Culp finished second. Thank you for your support, Joseph, and glad to hand off a disc to you to get you taken care of for your Patreon support. And then Alan Shute took third place. Pro Masters, 50 and older, again, a great battle. Layman Gray ultimately came out on top. Dave Muntean Jr., who we know from Tallahassee, who works so hard, has put on a Silver Series event and such. Dave Muntean finishes second. And then Stephen Enloe finished third. Michael Montgomery, your MA1 champ, FA1, Kim Hatcher. Jason Culver, your MA40 champion. Eric Jenkins, who I also spoke to, MA50 champ. Pamela Dugas, FA50. Chuck Wilson Brunke?
Good luck.
MA55 champ. Melvin Roberts, MA60. Jim Carden, MA65. Luke Jacob, MA2. Hilmar Arias, or Halimar, sorry. Who I did meet briefly. Your FA2 champion. Recreational Bradley Hendrick. Karina Dill in Rec Women, your champion. Joe Simmons in MA4. So congratulations to all of the competitors out there this weekend. Awesome to be down there. And I'm not going to call it a soapbox. I'm going to just quickly say, like, there are times when I get to travel around and you see who puts on a tournament. I think to a couple weekends ago, I had the honor of TDing the cold turkey, and it's me and
like the 17th time.
Yeah, but it's me and like four or five people that ultimately put in the work and make it happen. Much smaller scale. To go to a tournament like the Chain Hawk Open and to see not only 264 competitors over the 3 days playing two different courses, but then to see the talk leading into the tournament about getting the course ready, having the basket set up, having all the assets on the course, getting all the, you know, and this is very similar to what we see, we'll say, on a pro tour level, but this is what happens when you have a functional, healthy club. And I'll say it time and time again, I've always been jealous of really good, healthy, functioning clubs because not everywhere has them.
No, I know Milwaukee for a long time had a great club, but it kind of went into disarray when a few of the elder members just stepped away, or there was some conflict between maybe some of the younger members and some of the older members. And Milwaukee, for the last few years, hasn't really had a strong presence for a club. So it's something I feel like our area is really missing out on versus a place, you know, like you said, like in Florida, where you've got the Sky Flyers that have been around forever.
Sky Pilots.
Sorry. Thank you. And at one point, which I believe I was a member even.
I think we were.
I think we signed up to be 90s. A member back in the late 90s. And so to have a club like that it's difficult. It's truly a difficult thing to keep a club like that going for long term, especially through all the changes that we've seen in disc golf. Because as we know, a club even 10 years ago has to be way different than a club today, depending on what you're trying to accomplish. Are you trying to accomplish large major tournaments? Are you trying to accomplish just great leagues? Are you trying to accomplish getting courses in the ground in your area? Every league has to probably focus, or every club probably has to focus maybe a slightly different things. If you're lucky and you've got a big enough club, maybe you can focus on all of those things. Not a lot of people have that.
Yeah, and we know sometimes a club will maybe disband or fall apart because there will be some different initiatives. Some leaders may not see eye to eye or whatever the case might be. Of course, all of those things can happen. But when the event gets put on and the overall greater good of the community and of the disc golfers and the disc golf at large is what benefits from everybody, you know, cohesively working together, at least outwardly working together, it's really cool to see. And again, I'm not saying a club has to be in place for every good or successful event. By no means, it doesn't have to happen. But when you go to an area and you see this healthy club doing that kind of work, it's I don't know, there's something about it.
It's like great.
I said, that only makes me a little jealous, but it just warms my heart. Like, wow, this this is what it's like. Like having all these people having assigned roles and tasks, whether they ran for a board position or they just stepped up and volunteer. It's pretty cool. And of course, we see something like that when we talk about, you know, a huge place like Charlotte. I mean, there's hundreds.
There's a
of
lot
great
of
clubs,
great.
So I'm
clubs.
Not going to try and name them all, but it's pretty incredible to see for sure. What I'm also seeing is one of the Gainesville's finest, or an OG Double G. It looks like he's getting himself all queued up. And I think without further ado, we've got none other than our Chain Hawk Open champion, Double G, Garrett Gerthy.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
All right. Dinner ran a little late. Sorry, guys.
All good. All good. I quickly told the story, which I don't think I told you, was that last time when I was trying to have you on, I was texting with someone. I was texting you. And then I was like, yeah, Tuesday night, we'll see you there. You're like, yep, sounds great, blah, blah, blah. Just to find out, that wasn't your current number. And somebody was just like playing along with it. And I was totally pissed off about it because I thought you flaked on us, when just to find out that wasn't your real phone number. That was an old one or something.
Yeah, I don't know what happened there, but I'm glad we got situated finally.
Yeah, no, we appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining. We were just quickly recapping all of the winners from this weekend, but also talking about the Chain Hawks and the club and, you know, what it means to put on a big, successful event. You took this down this weekend now for the third time. What is that like, winning at home, so to speak, or in your hometown?
I mean, I honestly don't care who the competitors are. Just there's something about being home and trying to defend your home turf. Usually something always comes up. So this time everything seemed pretty clean. There was still a little bit of pressure with so many people just on my back and wanting to support me and wanting to see the local guy win. It's just so much harder being on the home turf and making sure everything goes smoothly like it normally does in casual rounds. May not be the case in competitive rounds as far as tournaments go. So I'm kind of glad I got to link it together after playing some solid golf against Paul McBeth past couple tournaments. So it was nice to finally get a W before the year was over. I got one more. We're packing for tonight for South Florida Open in Fort Lauderdale. So I'm excited to keep on discing through the off season.
Yeah, and we've seen you have a couple different approaches over the last few years, you and Jessica, whether it's been Florida or California. What is it about, you know, how do you make that decision where you're going to be during an off season right now?
It all just kind of depends on which family we seen last for longer. We kind of try to distribute the time evenly between families. And currently with me looking for property in Florida, that was our time vested this off season, is to kind of look for some property. With the market being a little high right now, we're being patient. So we're looking for a nice property that we can build on and make a little barn dominium. That's my goal anyways. So I'd like to be able to park all my stuff inside, be able to have an indoor putting green, indoor throwing net, for no excuses to be ready for seasons on.
So you're looking for one of the barn dominiums. That's kind of the general idea. I know that's the hot new house thing where it's a big wide open concept, and then you can really do what you want with it depending on the land, huh?
Yeah, I kind of like that idea. I just like more of open space where we can store stuff, because we gather a lot of things almost. If you think about it, we're on the road. Each day we acquire maybe something to go in either the trailer or the truck, which I'm not proud of per se. But now that we have a puppy, it's the family's expanding, you know. So I want to be able to have a little bit of land for her to be able to run inside to whenever there's rainy days, because there's sure enough rainy days here in Florida.
Yeah, I mean, from 3 to 4 o'clock every day, right? At least for like a half hour or something, it feels like.
True. We can ask Terry. The weather was quite nice here in Gainesville, Florida. We had a bit of a talk about it.
Yeah, it was. It was a touch on the humid side, which I think we should expect, but it somehow every bit of precipitation held off all weekend until we were like pulling out of the parking lot, and then there was a little drizzle on Sunday night, and it's like, eh, I'm out of here. It turned out perfect.
That's nice. Florida's way to get rid of you.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. It was overcast, but yet perfect throughout the weekend. So, do you have again? Well, I guess you don't have an address for it anyway, so we're not doxing you. Where, like, what section of Florida? I mean, we just saw Paul McBeth and Hannah move up to Jacksonville area. What section of Florida are you looking to be in?
I'm looking in the north central Florida area, which is just a little bit on the outskirts of Gainesville. Gainesville says their prices are high, but I can tell them maybe go look all other states and they're probably not that high. But so either way, either in Gainesville, you know, the Newberry, the Trenton, the outskirts of Gainesville, where we're not worried about flood zones or anything like that either. So we got to think about that when we become a Floridian.
Yeah, you're going to, definitely wait. I know Florida real estate in general tends to be a little bit more popular this time of year versus Wisconsin, because in Florida, almost no one wants to move during the middle of the summer. And in Wisconsin, nobody wants to move in the middle of winter. So, you know, and with the way, obviously, as you said, real estate is right now, it's good to play your cards slow, because we don't know what's going to happen next year. You might be able to get something at a much cheaper price next year. I don't think prices are going up anytime soon. So it's
exactly,
it's a good time to not have something and be looking for something.
What?
There we go.
I guess just to follow up on that quickly, is you're not concerned about land, overall land, in terms of like, hey, I want to have enough room for 9 holes or 18 holes. That's not necessarily the goal or a concern right now?
Not right now, because my goal is to keep on disc golfing for a while and stay on the road. And I'm going to keep on grinding it out for a while. And I feel like when I'm more aligned to the time of retiring, I want to kind of have that kind of goal where I can go mow what I want to mow for my course and not have to worry about paying someone else to do it or knowing that it's done right or anything like that. Coming from a landscaping background, I did a little bit of that work myself. So some of the stuff I want to be a little bit more in control of probably in the future. But as of right now, I want something maybe I can Airbnb out for a little bit while I'm on the road, maybe pay for itself to generate some more funds for a couple more properties later down the road.
Okay. I like it. And there's nothing that seems more fitting, hardly. Maybe you in front of a grill, of course. But second to that, you out on a big old riding lawnmower. Somehow that imagery is just right. I love the idea.
To be honest, it's just... it is like a yoga to me for mowing grass. It's really nice knowing what the yard looks like before and the end result of what you can make the yard look like after. There's just something about it that I really enjoy. Being outside and making things look nice is kind of something I really like.
What kind of mower guy are you? You're looking for a big zero turn one? Are you looking for like a tractor style? Like,
yeah,
what kind of mower are you looking at?
I'm going with a 0 degree, probably a 54-inch deck, something that'll cover quite a bit and probably use it on level 3 quite often.
Okay.
Yeah, we're talking big decks and mowers here, folks. 54-inchers.
No, see, that's turn. That's bigger than mine. I went with the 46-inch one, okay, the zero tone like Toro.
That big deck is and, double G. Deck.
No, I'm not definitely going to have as big of a deck as double G. And I keep it right around 275 to 3. Yeah. So that's right about where I keep mine. Pretty good.
What did I do? I didn't say the width of the jerky slices.
No.
Well, let's talk about that. I've got questions on a couple of things that come to mind, but let's talk about jerky for a moment, in the fact that, of course, you've really leaned into this and it's killing it. You've been producing it for a couple of years. I think it's easy for us to forget, because I'm always talking about hot boom sauce and just how much I enjoy it. It's easy to forget that you have a bigger motive in mind. You know, of course, you're providing jerky to people, you know, as a snack and following your passion of cooking in that sense and preparing food. But talk about like the bigger vision and goal in mind and foundations and such. What are you doing and who you working with?
I'm working with Paul McBeth and the... In his foundation, we're growing stuff together, and also the Double G Children's Foundation we're trying to pump into as well. A portion of each sale goes to some children out there that need help. We got a children's sponsor team, so each sale helps these kids get to tournaments and pay for PDGA memberships to help them get out and about. And we also really enjoy helping the Paul McBeth Foundation, because he's growing the sport in other countries. I'd love to be out there with him, but he's doing big things to the next level. And, you know, hats off to the guy for making really big changes to the sport and getting in the countries that want it. And I'm all about supporting that. So,
yeah,
I appreciate it.
I mean, what a special place. And you've been playing golf about as many years as Johnny and I have, for your entire life. What a special place we're in, that not only do you have a foundation that's able to help, you know, foster some of these newer players and kids and help them out, but you're even at a spot where you're helping another foundation of a fellow competitor who has a different mission in terms of spreading love and disc golf worldwide and outside of the U.S. I think, I mean, did you ever envision disc golf to get to that size where we're talking about this stuff?
I always visioned it, but did I ever think it was going to get there, Terry? I that's the trouble I see. Like, maybe in another 10 or 15 years from now, maybe we're cutting more of those lines. But now that we're doing it now, I mean,
more power to it, because we're here to support all. My growing up, my whole childhood, I was supported in the disc golf community. I know how it works. I know how expensive it is to get all your kids into the tournaments. My parents had to do it. There was five of us total, and there was some of us sitting at some of the tournaments because of the funds it does cost to get around. So we're trying to help fill that void for some of those kids out there. So always know that Double G is watching, and he's always wanting to help. And I have a great business partner, Ted, that's been helping me guide the way and helping put these kids on the right track and hopefully get them in the right sponsors' hands to help them more, even more.
Yeah, and I know I've been in communication with Ted, and he's working on some good stuff. We had one of his fellow players, so to speak, in Alden on last week. Obviously, super great guy. He announced his contract extension with Prodigy. You've been pretty much through and through, we're going to say, for most of your entire career with Innova. You had a little time away, but where do you stand with your Innova contract? Is that something that's up right now? Are you on any formal extensions, or where's everything stand?
I will say there's an extension, but I'm not going to mention all of it because I think Innova kind of wants to do a post for that. But I see myself with Innova for the next few years, maybe. And if anything changes in between, that'll be that. But I'm super happy where I'm at in the disc golf world. And the support's been amazing. Everyone buying my Halo Wraith and Halo Sonics. It means the world to me. Not only that, but Double G Craft Jerky and any of those bags with Nate Sexton or Paul McBeth on it, it helps them a lot as well. So I want to thank all of you for helping support me in and out, if it's from Innova or Double G Craft Jerky.
Yeah, so now, of course, I totally agree, and I know it's been a couple of years where every player's pack that I put together, I feel like now has to include a pack of your full-size jerky, because that's just such a no-brainer. What, dare I ask, what's next? Is there anything within disc golf
that... Oh, I thought you were going to ask, like, the next flavor.
No. Well, there's some ideas there. But my question would be, what is there anything else next in disc golf that you're concerned about either tackling or taking on or partnering with? Do you feel like there's any void? I mean, you mentioned... A course, you know, in retirement time, that's a long ways off. Is there anything else within disc golf that you're looking into?
As of right now, not really, but I don't see myself going anywhere. I'm trying to work harder in the off seasons to be able to keep up with the growing growth of the sport, because the competition levels get so high. So, for me to still be at the top, I'm going to keep taking it one year at a time, and hopefully I can stay on this tour as long as I can without these youngsters kicking me off.
What does Double G have to work on? Honestly, when you look back at the 2022 season and you look at your successes and your failures, what do you see that you're thinking, all right, this offseason, I really need to buckle down and do this to make my game better?
I need to get stronger. I need to go to the gym. I feel like I fatigue a little bit in my forearm whenever I'm out there throwing the disc 100 miles further than most people. It really does put a toll on my arm, and I don't mean that by any joke, but it does really put a toll on me, and I feel like having a better foundation, going to the gym a little bit, and working my dumbbells a little bit for my wrist strength, my forearms. I've been working on it a little bit, but now that we have one more tournament left to wrap up the year here at South Florida Open this weekend, I'll be able to hit the weights a little bit more without worrying about sensitive issues when it comes to the putting green and stuff like that. So I feel like from my personal experience, when I lift weights, I have really, I would say a bigger problem of trying to get the disc in the basket when it's closer range after pumping some iron. I don't know. That's just
those discs feel just like a little lighter.
Yeah, exactly. I just need to get in the routine of things before the season starts, and I feel like I'll be a little bit better off, and hopefully stay at the top a little bit more than I did this
2022 season.
Well, you find yourself at the top, and this is a question that was brewing a little earlier for me, is you win, but then you also talked about adding stuff to the truck or to the camper or to the trailer. And without fail, every time anyone wins anything, the internet decides they need to chime in on trophies. And so my question, because you just won one this weekend, I think it's an awesome looking trophy. It's a painting, you know, that depicts out at the course. I think they look absolutely beautiful. I'd be honored to have one hanging up at my house. But immediately, again, the internet feels like they have to chime in because they, I think they know everything, or so they say. So my question to you is, you got at least two trophies this year. You probably have had a rooms full of them in your lifetime. Where's the value that you place on them? And how much do they mean to you in terms of a third place trophy versus a first place trophy? And what kind of price point should be tournament directors be thinking about if they are pricing out trophies? I know that's kind of a big question.
That's a good question, because I wasn't really ready for that one. And I guess I could just give you my 100% feedback on that. I think first place really deserves a trophy in most events. And I think it should be a decent one, but I don't think there should be a lot of money coming out of the pot unless it's made of gold or something, or silver. I'm just kidding. But honestly, I think there should be a budget in mind, maybe under $500, and it would be a one trophy, not three trophies. I think I'm really ecstatic with my Noel Smith painting first place trophy that's already hanging in my Airbnb. We took a picture down to put my first place trophy up hanging in our Airbnb.
Just don't forget it there.
I was going to say, don't forget it as you leave the Airbnb.
Are you kidding me? I got a Bieber on that thing. I love that thing. I want to give a shout out to my buddy Noel. If you haven't seen his artwork, I'm sorry. Head on over to Noel Smith's art page and like, follow. If you need anything made, Christmas right around the corner. He did our trophies for the Chain Hawk Open. Chris Clark reached out to, we're trying to keep it local, keep it in the disc golf family. And that's what I have to suggest, if you can. If you're going to go get trophies made, keep it in, somewhere in the disc golf community.
I love it. And what a great take as well, because I've said in years past, and I think you could probably attest to this, you're probably not going out of the way. You've had enough accolades and wins and accomplishments in your career that no matter how damn good or expensive a third place trophy is, you're probably not going out of your way to get it onto the mantle or onto the wall. If it's third,
there's just not the room with the amount of trophies that these guys get.
Exactly. So maybe not even having a second and third. But then again,
that's my
thought. The fresh new guy on tour. You're a newer player like Noah Fiveash. He takes second at Chain Hawk and he can't wait to get that on the wall. So, just because he's a newer player and doesn't have the depth of trophies you do. So I don't know if there's a win there. But
I think the first trophy you probably get at a big event, like a huge A tier or an NT, whether it's third, second, or first, makes you feel good. But at some point, assuming you're a solid player like Double G or Noah Fiveash, you're probably going to get a bunch of those. And does that first one maybe hold a little special spot in your heart? Sure. But guess what? Any first place trophy is going to knock that third place trophy off, even if it was your first one. And I'm with Double G. I think just first place trophies. I think dump for anything A tier and above, for the most part, dump second and third, especially for elite. A tier, those are a little bit more regional. I could see having a second and third because you might get your more regional players that don't get to, I would love to have a second place trophy behind Double G's first place. I would have Double G sign my second place trophy and be like, yeah, I beat him right here.
Still beat you, sucker.
Still beat you. But, for an elite series event, first place only. Done.
Huh. Okay. Well, anyway, like I said, you're a guy that has collected them. And then I always do bring up the point you just said about stuff in your van, stuff in your RV, in your van, in your trailer, whatever, at a certain point, you know, you think of, well, I'll say someone like a Paige Pierce, like how many trophies can she fit in one van, you know, in 1 year, right? Well, I mean, she's taking trophies at every event.
There was four of us boys competing growing up. Imagine all of the second, third, fourth, whenever they had like fifth trophies. And they all look like dolls, like on top. They had like an ultimate frisbee. They
Yep. We got a few of those.
Sorry. But yeah, like my dad gathered a whole box of those and he had no clue what to do with them. Like, what do I take these to storage? Or these aren't going to gain value. I'm sorry, kids. They're second, third, fourth places. We're taking them to Goodwill.
Yeah, you pop off, maybe pop off the little plaque part and just get the little tiny thing you put on there, the placard, and then you just keep that. You make a rack of them or something, and the rest of them you give away. But come on. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Your family, I mean, you guys all competed. You were always taking trophies. At some point, it becomes a weapon in the car between with you kids. Like, I bet you I can poke you with mine more than you, you know?
Oh, trust me. I know. Yeah.
I think about coming back from the Tour Championships. I was coming from Oregon, cross paths with Silver and Kristen in Chicago, and she literally had just bags and bags of trophies that she was bringing back with her. Now, again, almost all of hers were first place, but she had all these bags and bags of trophies that she had to bring back to Estonia. I'm like, those are world champ problems. Not everyone's got those.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, exactly. So 2023 is right around the corner. You talked about, of course, this weekend, South Florida is kind of your last one. Then you're going to be hitting the gym and doing some various things. Is there anything out of the ordinary that's scheduled for 2023? Is there anything that you've looked at on your calendar and you're like, this might shock a few people? Is there anything like that, or is 2023 kind of what we would expect?
Probably kind of what you expect. Maybe get out of the country.
Okay.
Maybe people not expecting that because they've been wanting me to for years since I went to Copenhagen back in the day. Uh-huh. So I did sign up for the Disc Golf Pro Tour pass for all the Elite Pluses and Silver Series. So if y'all are listening right now and y'all are a fan, I'll be there. And can't wait to see you guys. And I should have some jerky with me. So if not, find Terry. He'll probably have some in his back pocket.
No, it'll be gone. I'll just have an empty bag.
We can smell the bag then, maybe.
if I'm doing it right. 22. Okay, so thinking about events. Oh, that was my question. Sorry. What is your scenario? And I know every player is a little bit different. How do the tour passes work in terms of your sponsorship? Is that something you go out and you put on your credit card and then Innova or a primary sponsor pays you back? Is that something that they usually purchase for people? And I know everyone on a different team might do it a little differently. Can you share how it works for you?
Personally, I just kind of pay for it, and I email it in, and I tell them, like, hey, I give them a breakdown of what I did.
Okay.
And what they pay me back, I kind of forget and lose track, but I know most of my stuff's paid for. So on a lighter note, I know I'm taken care of nicely by any of my sponsors that take care of most of that. So there's no problem on my end on that side, but like I said, I just try to get it done and then we'll worry about it later kind of guy. That's just me.
Dave's not checking receipts. this one, McDonald's? I don't think we're paying for that.
Tell me there's gotta be a little bit of ease or peace of mind that it's not quite the rat race it used to be. Because people start talking about tournaments and then you're like, oh, wait, you know, such and such big tournament opens on December 9th at 9 p.m. I better be logged in ready to go. When it comes to the Pro Tour and the Tour Pass, of which you obviously qualify for, that's got to make things a lot less stressful for you, right?
I feel like that because I know I sat out on a couple tournaments last year. Because I was off the ball. I said, I'll get it right whenever I get done driving this 5-hour trip. One thing led to another. I was out in no time. I didn't make the, the one in Georgia, the PDGA runs. I'm sorry, I didn't play in it, so I forgot
it. The Champions Cup.
Yeah, that one. I really wanted to play that one. I did get to play the skins match before. I got to win like $1,000 before, so it was kind of a bonus being able to sit that one out for the rest of the week. So I'm looking forward to that one next year for the one I missed. So that's just an example of how hard it can be without signing up for some of these tournaments and knowing some of the dates that come out. So
exactly. I was just going to say it used to be this kind of chaotic thing of, you know, trying to get in, and now for having a tour card and a tour pass and everything else for someone of your, of both your stature and also just the overall, your standing and then the rating and everything else. Like, it's just, yeah, a lot less stressful, I would have to imagine. So good to hear you're all
absolutely going.
I mean, plus you win $1,000 playing the Champions Cup in the skins match. That's like a, you know, 9 or 18 holes. Why play four rounds when you could just win a grand and then like sit out the weekend and take off, right?
Oh man, it was kind of refreshing to say the least, but needless to say, I was still salty a little bit. I wanted to play.
Is there any one section of the tour that either you're looking forward to most or you'd love to seek a little revenge? Is there anywhere where like, man, I left some strokes out on those courses? Is there either or that you're looking forward to or you're looking for revenge?
Man, I really like the Northwest. I love being in Oregon, and the play showed last year, mm-hmm. and I want to say maybe the year prior to that. But that's just my comfort zone, being in Oregon. I have really good friends there. My friend Jose Garza, Micah Moon Winners, they're always supporting me on and off the road. They're shooting me positive messages. And I don't know, just the stars align. I feel like whenever I'm in Oregon and regardless of my play, I'm always having a good time. And I feel like that's kind of what brings me to playing good golf, is I'm having a good time regardless if it's the golf course or if I'm going to visit some waterfall right down the road, or going to the Nike employee store, the Adidas, whatever. We always have a good time in the Northwest, and we plan on bringing Tilly, my pup, and we're going to get her on some truffle oil here, and maybe hopefully we can find some truffles in the hills of Oregon somewhere. Mm. She's a truffle hunter.
I was just going to say, as you're explaining that, I'm thinking, man, how much fishing is Double G doing these days? And it feels like right now a few of your priorities have shifted a little bit with a new addition to the family, right? You still fishing?
They have. I haven't fished yet. I've been begging Chris Clark to go on his boat, but I know he's been busy with the Chain Hawk Open. And talk about a guy that knows how to catch some fish, Chris Clark, my friend. We call him CCC, Captain Chris Clark, Triple C. So there's a Triple C and a Double G on board, and he takes care of everything. And he's just a great fisherman, and I can't really can't wait to get back on the water. But I have had my hands full with Tilly, and she's been wanting to dig holes, and we've been having to take her to bark parks and stuff like that. So family G-man here, we're trying to take care of it. Me and Jessica, we're being good puppy parents. So
yeah, you guys are. I always see Tilly around throughout the, you know, on tour and on the weekend, and it's been awesome, you know, watching a lot of our players, whether they're riding solo or like in the case of you and Jess, to see you guys, you know, take on the new challenge of raising a little one. What's been the most surprising thing that you've had in terms of having a new puppy?
The most surprising thing? I would say just the amount of time it really does take to put the dog in front of other things. You kind of got to choose your battles. So
okay.
It's like, no going shopping to the mall for long. If we're going in, we're going in for like 15 minutes and one of us is running out. So our priorities are a little bit more in order, and we're walking more, and staying a little bit more healthy on that side, whereas compared to spending a lot more money when we were shopping a lot more when we didn't have an animal. So,
okay. Upsides, yeah, right? Upsides yeah. of puppies.
You didn't even know that yeah. would be an upside at first, which is awesome to hear. Anything else you want to share with us, Double G? We're going to let you get going. We know it's getting late here out there. You're on the East Coast. Anything you want to share with the world, initiatives, projects, sponsors, ways they can support you, share it all with us.
If you want a bag of Double G craft jerky, head on over to DoubleGJerky.com. We got all kinds of flavors. Ted's been doing me right, keeping the site fixed up and everything. So I want to give a shout out to Ted for doing all that. I got some sponsors in the work for this year coming up, 2023. I don't want to say them all yet. I did let a couple of them go, and on good terms, not bad terms, but I do wish them the best to all of them and thank them for all they've done. But to all the future sponsors, Sun King Disc Sports, I don't want to spoil it now, but I got some okay. more I'm going to say. I want to thank them all, though. They know who they are. Innova Champion Disc, Infinite Disc, Zuka, UNFI. They did me really well. If people don't really know who they are, that's United Natural Foods Incorporated. They basically had me covered from head to toe on anything I needed on the tour, where if it was a shopping spree for groceries, hey, go here to the turnip truck. We got all the groceries on us, whatever you need. Fill your cooler, fill your storage. We got you. United Natural Foods Incorporated have been the bomb all year. So I want to give a big shout out to them. They're on my back right now. So needless to say, I want to thank you guys for doing what you do, spreading the love of disc golf each week. You're busting your ass. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that.
It's okay.
You're busting your ass. And y'all are doing what people want, getting a hold of us top pros and, you know, just telling them how our life is. And hopefully some people are living vicariously through us and through you guys, because you guys are on the mic better than we are. So I want to thank you guys. Tip the hat. You guys rock.
Well, we appreciate it, buddy. You know, you're welcome here anytime. We know that you're a busy man and running around throwing those big bombs and then cooking up food and jerky and everything else. But we really appreciate you joining us. Looking forward to what we're going to see in 2023.
Exciting year.
It's no secret or surprise that you're one of the fan favorites every time you step on the course. Very infectious personality and great to be around. And it's awesome to see the win this weekend. But more importantly, great to see you, the way you get to interact and to be with everyone out on the course. And there's a reason thousands and thousands of people, tens of thousands of people are always out there rooting for you no matter where you're playing. So it's well deserved and certainly well earned. And we very much appreciate you joining us tonight, my man.
Thank you, guys. Sounds like I owe you guys a dinner sometime.
Don't worry about it.
It'll be on Terry.
Yeah, well, one way or another. And real quick, I'll get a plug in there. We're going to have some Double G jerky giveaways. I did talk to Ted just before the show, and he said nice. He wants to jump in on a couple giveaways. So I'm going to orchestrate something here tonight so that we can have a few extra giveaways. Thanks to you guys. Thanks to your support there, Double G and the jerky family. So, all right, man, you go get some rest. Best of luck to you in South Florida, you and Jess, this weekend.
Yep, give our best to Jess.
And best of luck to you guys. And looking forward to seeing you in early 2023, my friend.
All right. I can't wait. You guys be safe and have a happy 2023.
All right.
Awesome.
We'll
thanks, Double G.
See ya. And of course, we just let him go. I didn't even ask him for my disc in a box plug. Double G picked up a couple hundred more shipping boxes this last weekend. I'm like, what a good problem to have. First of all, I'm glad to help him out that he can have these boxes to ship in. But mm-hmm. I'm like, if you're going through that many boxes, it means you're moving some product. Of course he is. Everybody wants to get in on that.
Everybody needs a Sonic.
Or two.
Mm-hmm. At least. I mean, probably two, because you want one to play catch with the dog.
Yep.
And then you need one just to play catch with, probably with your friends, and then one to bag at least. Yeah. So you probably need three Sonics.
Probably. I mean, and then while you're at it, just get yourself a Halo Wraith as well.
That's right. That's the only way you can throw as far as double G.
Yes. That's that is the way to do it. All right. I'm going to shoot a message over to
Callie.
One Callie McMorrin.
I'm excited to talk to Callie about the new Masters Tour and make sure she's reserving our spots.
Yes, that's what people want to see.
That's right.
It is
two washed up old men.
Yeah, a couple of us hacks out there. I mean,
listen, I'm going to run that MA40 division. I'm still not even going to do that. No,
no. But anyway, she'll be joining us in just probably a few moments. I sent over a link to her, and if you got all your questions fired up and ready to go, I know she has been on top of answering so many different people that constantly are making either requests or suggestions. Internet's never short of suggestions, that's for sure. And we'll see what she's been learning and picking up, because I'm sure it's been nothing short of exhausting, but yet probably somewhat satisfying and fulfilling all at the same time. So I think without further ado, she's just like that. You send her a link, and then moments later, it looks like she should be ready to go. And we're going to welcome in our Disc Golf Pro Tour, our Masters Pro Tour coordinator.
It's going to be tough. It's almost like when a tournament changes names from like the DDO to the GBO, you have to get that tongue ready. You have to be.
We got it ready, and she's probably ready to go. Callie McMorrin, how you doing?
Very good. How are you?
Great, we're good. I mean, we're now your demographic. You know, us older folk are your demographic, and we're ready to go. Nobody wants to see that. So welcome to the show, first and foremost. The question on everyone's mind is, what the F are you thinking? How much work do you really want to be doing? What are you doing here?
Yeah, so I think I'm officially crazy.
Yeah,
that's finally like, yeah, everyone's always wondered, including myself. And I think this is officially, this is it. So, I decided to take on a massive project. You know, every day since I announced it, I've come across something that I didn't think of, which is a good thing and a bad thing, but you know, it's just growth and we're going to get there. And it's been a lot. So, yeah, here we are. I'm exhausted.
Has the last more or less week just been answering questions? Like, what have you done since you announced? Basically, I think it was last Wednesday or Thursday, something along those lines.
Yeah, be the first.
What has your week been like?
Lots of emails, lots of phone calls. I don't even know how many hours I've been on the phone. Thank God I have unlimited minutes. I told my dad that the other day. So I would be broke.
Who doesn't have unlimited minutes? We've talked about this. I think everyone has unlimited minutes
like
these days.
You didn't have unlimited minutes.
But she's not old like us.
I know. When we got our first cell phones, you had 150, you know, daytime minutes and 250 night and weekends. And that had to last you a whole month. You're going through that in a day or two.
Yes, without a doubt. So, it's just really consisted of tons of interest, which is great. It blew up pretty well. The original post that I made in the Disc Golf Masters Tour Facebook page now has over 30,000 views, which is pretty cool considering it's a group that was the first post in. So, and it had 25 followers in the group that these Masters guys have been wanting this for a long time. So they actually found the group before I even promoted it. I've had questions actually about a few events that have been sanctioned, just kind of sitting there as I put the whole tour together. And I just kept emailing them. I'm like, stop looking at this. Like, this is a surprise. You're not supposed to see this yet. But they're all pumped and they're like, well, this changes my entire schedule next year. You know, is this one event? Are these regional events? What's your plan? I'm like, yeah, I'm crazy. So this is going to be a lot like the Pro Tour, but for age protected divisions. So, the Facebook page is now at 2,100 members, which, you know, that's not a ton, just a few days. That feels pretty good. So, you know, we're trying to promote the Instagram account, obviously with older generations that may be a little tougher than the Pro Tour, but it's getting there, you know, and I'm trying to teach these guys how to bring added cash. And a lot of that has to do with Instagram and social media and media. So I told him, I said, even if you only make Instagram just to follow this one page, it's worth it for you guys in the long run, because it means more added cash and more opportunities for the tour. So
I think the number one question that I saw personally, and I haven't delved into it as much as Terry has, was, are these events specific for the tour, or are these events that you picked to be on your specific tour? Because I noticed some of them have you as the tournament director. Some of them, it looked like coordinated with maybe another event. The one I just looked at, I think, was the Goat Hill, running almost simultaneously. So can you explain how the events work? Is it specific for Masters, or what's going on with that? Is it different for every event?
Yeah, so as of right now, it's different for every event. When I originally started creating this schedule, I just took my experience and the context that I've actually created over the last few years just by me running C-tiers and meeting private course owners all across the country. So I pretty much generated this from scratch. It actually worked out pretty well with Alan Risley so far because, you know, he's the man in San Diego. He's the Goat Hill man, you know. So, and I'm the venue. It's a huge track, but they have golf carts. So that's a huge perk. So I thought of it immediately. It's right before Vegas. And my schedule, I was trying to get it in there 2 weeks before Vegas, reach out to Alan. And he said, well, ironically enough, and this was before the A-tier schedule came out, he's like, Goat Hill is actually that week next year. And I said, really? So, you know, this year it was about mid-season. Ricky ended up winning it. It was the same time as 303. Well, they didn't want those competing at this point, which is smart. Colorado needs some love. And, you know, it's a lot more convenient to get out to California, in my opinion, because you're not going to Southern California unless you were going to Goat Hill. So it makes sense. Alan is an amazing tournament director. I immediately thought, as soon as he said that, I said, well, you know, it was worth a shot. And he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's like, this caters to me. You know, I want to be a part of this. So he's like, I wasn't saying no. I think we should work this together and we can work this out. And so we added Reedy Creek, which is another amazing venue that hasn't had much exposure. But it's about 30 minutes from Goat Hill, another ball golf course that is under new management, actually. And they are very disc golf motivated. So most of their income, I believe, is actually generated through disc golf. So that's pretty cool.
Now, maybe that kind of touches on one of the key components that I've seen, and it makes perfect sense in terms of just sheer numbers. All of your events on this tour, you're looking to have at least two courses available. And is that just a purely participation thing, so you can get to, you know, have a field of 288 or more, or whatever you know, the magic numbers are for you? Is that what's driving that bus? And will the players always then play two different courses, or do you just want two available for the event?
Correct. So with that, we want 288 spots because the PDGA, the lovely PDGA, and I do mean that sincerely, but they've decided to add 8 more age-protected divisions next year. And, you know, this is very different. This is a whole different monster than the Pro Tour, because the Pro Tour is dealing with two divisions. Mm-hmm. If we actually catered to all the age protected divisions, and I keep saying we, it's literally me and Milo. So my puppy and I are catering to everybody. But it's actually 32 divisions when you break it all down, which is absolutely insane. And, you know, that starts with 40s and then 50s, 55, 60, 65, 70, 75, 80. So they just added 75 and 80 for, yeah, men and women, pro and amateur. So now mm-hmm. you have 4 divisions to each one of those categories. So that's when you get to 32. You know, and part of the discussion is with other tournament directors. You know, I talked to Jeff Jacquaw earlier. We're trying to partner for LVC. Obviously, it's one of the few Pro Tour events that actually cater to Masters that same weekend, which is really cool. Amazing venue. And he reached out to me. I want to work with him. But I asked him, I said, you know, does it benefit the players to have those, you know, divided up age protected divisions like 55, 65, 75? Is it more beneficial to do that for the handful of people that that helps? Or is it more beneficial for those first few years to just have better payouts? And I'm currently leaning towards the better payouts. So I think I'm going to set the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. And not do those in-between divisions. Now, that may create an issue for Worlds and Tim Selinski, because obviously those are majors and they are going to cater to all those divisions. So it's not going to make everybody happy. That's the hard part of doing this, right? You have to pick and choose your battles. Mm-hmm. And just to get started, you know, the trophy expenses alone to add all of those other divisions take away from the event. You know, and there's going to be some people upset with that. And I know that. But I've been, you know, I've been talking to other tournament directors that it's not their first rodeo, and they agree with what I'm thinking. And so I think that that's how we're going to proceed.
Yeah. And somebody, Sam, just said it on the board, which was something I was thinking too, is like all those trophies. And then we just had a conversation about the importance or not of trophies with Double G a few minutes ago, and thinking about what that looks like in terms of, I mean, just being able to, you're not going to have to carry them with you necessarily, but being able to order and then have the right amount. Because I've said it before, the worst feeling in the world as a tournament director is to have a trophy and then not even have a person to hand it to because you've ordered too many, and then you order too few, and then a lot of people show up and you're like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, it, yeah, been there, done all of that. So
yeah, you lose, right? It's a tough one to win. And the next thing is, and this is something that would be great to ask the Masters players, is what do you guys want for trophies? Because do you want something that you can use? I mean, I've thought about doing like big glass mugs where you can show it off, you know. Mm-hmm. you can put a beverage in there, and after the event, you guys can all cheers. Is that something you want? Do you not value a trophy? You know, would you rather have a bigger payout in the AM divisions? Would you know, I don't know. So all I know is if we're going to do trophies, I want them to be really cool. I want them to be, you know, something that could turn into even a collector's item. I want them to be, you know, each year you could win all of these trophies. And when you get done, it'd be really cool if someone did win a bunch of them and they have a whole series of trophies that line up. I think that would be really sweet. So things to think about. There's a lot of them.
It is. And just to put another thought on top of all of that, you know, does a 67-year-old value a trophy that gets put on their mantle or above their fireplace the same way a 17 or 27-year-old does?
I think it's funny because I think the 67-year-old would probably value it more.
Maybe.
Because they
have less life to enjoy it.
Ouch. Ouch. Jeez, Terry.
I'm just saying.
You took that dark. You went dark there.
My point is, you talk to enough people at certain ages and you think about birthdays and Christmases when they're like, we don't need anything. We don't need another damn thing in our house, no matter what it is. We want nothing else. And that's in a semi-serious way, though. That's what I think about even trophies. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. You're right. There's no winning no matter how you look at it, because everybody has a slightly different agenda and priority. And
definitely.
So let's talk a little bit about the tour, and maybe the avenue that I am most familiar with as far as media coverage. Like, what are you looking for? Because one of, obviously, the things that the Masters Tour or the Masters in general have been talking about is coverage for them, like a little bit more spotlight. Let's focus on some of the guys that helped bring the sport to where it's at now. What type of coverage as far as post-production, live, like, what are you looking at right now for this?
Yeah, so I've been in communication with Ace Run Pro. If you don't know who they are, they're amazing. Conrad and Felix, they're out of the Atlantic area.
They're usually on our board somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Awesome guys, down to earth. You know, they do a good job. They're really good at post-production coverage. And, you know, they're a newer company, which I like. You know, I started a small business, and so I value that, right? I want to take people with me on this journey, and I want to make them bigger. So, you know, and I'm looking at that in many ways, you know, who's going to make the trophies, who's going to do the media, who, you know, I want to take a crew and start them from the ground up, and we could grow this thing together where everyone could potentially be on the tour someday. But yeah, as far as media, it's expensive, you know, and we need sponsors. And I've spent the last 3 days doing nothing but reaching out to companies and sending emails and leaving voicemails and doing the due diligence that it takes to try to get, you know, cash flow. And just a very basic number from Ace Run Pro, in case anyone's wondering, but to film the entire tour, which would be all the B-tier events, you're looking at about $85,000. And that's a lot of money, you know, and I don't have that money. So we've got to come up with it. And this is where, you know, and I actually just posted in the page, I'm like, this is where it's going to show how much you guys really value media, because within your local clubs, you know, I'm talking to private venues, because if that private course really values media coverage, maybe they'll do their own sponsorship and try to get that money raised. Cause I have enough on my plate as it is to try to figure out. And of course I would love media, you know, but how many people are actually going to watch it? I mean, that's another thing. You know, if we do spend the money to film it, I need proof that people are going to care about it and share it and view it. And that's tough, you know, because it's a huge experiment. And that's where I'm running into brick walls with some sponsors, because they're like, well, Masters. And I'm like, yep, but they're still AMs, you know. And I think this will be even more successful than even an NADGT, because these are people that they aren't just starting careers. They aren't just buying homes. They aren't trying to build a family. These are people that are, they're, you know, through that era for the most part. And now they're ready to prep for retirement or are already in retirement. They have their finances in place to be able to pick everything up and potentially jump on tour. And that's not for everybody, obviously, but that's why I'm trying to bring in regional events. And, you know, there's been talk of, should we do regional points? Would that be more fair for the people that can't, you know, tour? I don't know. But yeah, going back to media, it's expensive. Do I want it? Yes. The finale will be filmed. That's coming out of my pocket. That's going to be about $8,000. I'm obviously hoping to have a sponsorship by then to cover that. But as of right now, I've committed to that, and that's the bill that I will have to pay. And, you know, until we get a big sponsor, I'm a little stressed out for everyone. And, you know, sponsors will make this successful. And, you know, lots of questions about how's payout going to be, you know. And my response to that is, if you're planning to quit your day job for this, maybe hold off for a few years. You know, it's going to take some time to build. And, you know, the Pro Tour was the same way. A lot of people don't remember when Steve Dodge had this thing and he was trying to build this thing from scratch, you know. And he didn't have the contacts, and the game wasn't where it needed to be for this to thrive, unlike it is now. So it's tough, you know. I feel for Steve, because I feel like I am Steve, but instead I've bit off 32 divisions instead of two divisions because I'm crazy. But I think the money will come. I think getting that first one to commit, that first sponsor, to get them in the door will really set the tone for making it easier, you know. And I'm talking to these people. I'm like, you know, if you're hesitant, why? You know, is it something we can fix? Is it what doubts do you have? Because I'm a salesperson. I can sell you on anything. So, you know, you just tell me what we're missing and I'll figure it out. So, but yeah, it's a lot, and one day at a time.
That's, well, yeah. And I think, you know, as you said, I think, seeing where venues and events value media coverage, you know, or you said something of that nature. I think in another line that you said was talking about, will people watch? And I think that is probably the biggest test that's here, because we often hear, man, we'd love to see a Kenny and a Barry and a Brian Schweber, whomever, you know, and insert your favorite local or even superstar pro of yesteryear, who have now moved into age protected divisions. You know, Johnny McRae obviously can play a number of different divisions and dominate.
Yes.
Your Patrick Browns and so on and so forth. Steve Rico, you know, those types. A lot of people have said that, and I think your question is very valid. How many people are now going to watch it? Are they going to put their eyes where their mouth has been, so to speak, and say, hey, yeah, this looks like a great Masters card. I'm going to sit and watch this. I'm excited to see that as well. And you're kind of chasing your own tail in that sense, because you want sponsors so that you can have media coverage, but media coverage will also can potentially help generate sponsors. So it's like you're, you know,
definitely.
I mean? Yeah, in a sense, you're chasing your tail, and there's not a great starting or ending point to that. They work in, you know, concurrently or congruently. I don't know. Some Like that.
One of those.
It's something like that. I just make up words. So I'm excited to see it. And, you know, it's all got to start somewhere, clearly. And, you know, the fact that you even, you know, like you said, crazy enough to take it on is incredible. I want to read a few things that I think you've posted. Requirements, because I know a lot of people keep saying, hey, man, like, you should have a tournament here, and then have absolutely just no bearing other than that's their favorite course. Like, no other forethought other than saying that. So here's something that was posted. Yeah. It says, requirement to be added to the DGMT for 2023, a minimum of 2 courses, a minimum of $3,000 added cash, $5 per player goes to the finale, players party / events for players, a minimum of 288 master spots, a venue that has adequate parking and warm-up areas, and then must have hotels / Airbnb / condos in the area to house players, a 3-day event, 1 round tee times each day. So with all of that, and of course those aren't the only requirements, those I think are the starting points, are any of those bendable? Do you have any exceptions? Is there a way that people are trying to circumvent, or is this the absolute starting point for every single event? Like, this should be posted on their face.
Yeah. So to be quite honest with you, I released that because my schedule's pretty full. Like,
okay,
you know, because what people don't realize, you know, we've got the Texas boys who have been screaming at me since I released this about how they want an event. And of course I want to have Texas on the schedule. I'd love to have NorCal on the schedule. The problem is there are only so many weekends in the year, and I pull a 42-foot trailer that weighs 20 pounds behind me, and I can't get somewhere in 2 seconds, you know? Mm-hmm. So with all of that, you know, I added those restrictions because most of the venues that I've had, like that I released originally, I am running them from scratch. These are brand new events. I don't have the $3,000. You know, they do have the 2 courses. They do have the spots. I have made sure that that's adequate, but it doesn't have the $3,000. So for me to then adjust my schedule and go out of the way now to add another event, I need you guys to do some groundwork. Otherwise, it's not happening. Sure. And that sounds harsh and mean, but there's only so many weekends and I can only do so much. We're looking at, I think, 22 events now, which is wild. Okay. And luckily, you know, we're looking at Mid-America Open, which hasn't been announced yet. We're hoping to partner with their A-tier side of the Silver Series. That's the weekend after. And that includes, you know, that includes the AMs, but it also includes the Pro Masters and Amateur Masters. Obviously, those types of events where they're Silver Series are really easy to work with. They already have their stuff put together. They already have a plan. They already have added cash. You know, they already have their own structure that the Pro Tour has provided to make this really easy for them, for me to just go, sure, we'll classify it as a Masters Tour event and we'll just give the players the points. I think that's really easy. I don't even know that I'm physically going to be at a couple of those because I will be on the other side of the country. So, you know, we had Mid-America Open, we have Kansas City Wide Open, and we're talking about LVC. Obviously, those three are pretty much instant adds, unless for some reason there's an overlap of something else, which the Pro Tour does a good job of scheduling things as well, and most of the time you're not going to run into that. However, the Texas boys, going back to them, you know, they have absolutely been screaming, and I hear them. I also want to point something out, and this is, I hope they don't take this wrong, but I feel as though you might be being a little bit greedy considering you have 3 Pro Tour stops back to back to back, and a lot of these states don't have a single big event in them. Nothing. Now, obviously, that doesn't help the Masters players, but you realize that your state is already on the map. You're getting attention. It may not be with the Masters Tour, but you know, me coming from Vegas going to Texas, that means that's the only time I'm down there. Terry, you know the schedule. Mm-hmm. You know, once I leave that area, we don't go back to Texas the rest of the season. So the only other way for me to get back down there is if I leave like Portland, Oregon and go straight to Dallas, which would be absolutely crazy.
Yeah.
So with that, I mean, I hope that they hear that. I hope that they take that well, because the only other option would to be A, overlap a Pro Tour event, which would be ridiculous. Or B, we do four events back to back to back to back. I go there right after Vegas or the week after the final Texas event, which I don't think is fair either, because that suffocates. Texas is huge, and I get that, but it can only withstand so much.
Yeah, you're talking about pulling in a lot of resources. You're talking about a lot of different people on any given weekend. And even from a, I'll say from a sponsor and or spectator perspective, some people after two or three weekends of Texas, no matter where you are, as good as the golf might be, they'd be like, ah, we're ready to move on. I think even our players kind of feel that way. You know, no matter how good you're treated, there's something about being on tour and, you know, the change of pace and scenery. So I guess that actually does bring me to another question, which is, do you foresee, and I know you just said, you know, people shouldn't quit their day jobs, but do you foresee people playing in half of the events or whatever a magic, maybe you have a magic number in mind where you're like, you know, I'd consider someone that hits, you know, six out of 22 events, consider that successful. Is there, is, do you, have you thought about any of those kind of numbers of where you'd like to see people, you know, continue to follow the tour?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is a group of people out there that maybe the manufacturers don't realize, but they have the means and the will to follow something like this. Because you think about it, right? Before disc golf blew up a few years back, the tour wasn't as satisfying as the Pro Tour has made it look until now, right? So now it's a dream. Everyone thinks it's the dream, and for some people it is. I've been on the road for 5 years now, and sometimes it's a dream and sometimes it's a nightmare. But you know, there is something really cool about it. And a lot of these people, you know, their dream was to do that, and they've missed that spot, right? They've already passed that in their life. But some of these people have their prep for retirement. They're going to go buy a van and they're going to jump on tour. Just maybe it's just 1 year. But I think you're going to have a handful of guys, and I don't know that they're going to be the best players on tour. I think it's going to be the guys that are like, I just want to do this. I want to say that I did this 1 year and I want the experience and I want to say that I've done it, you know? And I think you're going to have a group of those guys. And those are the guys that I'm doing this for, because I can't wait to, you know, meet these guys, know their faces in and week out, and know that without me, you know, without me stepping up and doing this, this wouldn't be possible, which I think that's really cool. You know, when you can see that, I want to build camaraderie. I feel like the Pro Tour has lost that a lot. You know, we don't have a lot of extra activities for the players. We pretty much go there because it's our job, and we go there, we get our job done, we clock out, and we go do our thing, you know? So I want to change that. I think that Masters players in general will value the experience maybe even more than, you know, payout or the players packs or any of that. I think the experience is what they're there for. Obviously, there's going to be a handful of guys that are trying to win, which I love that too, right? We want to cater to both. But I'm trying to build an entire venue and an event, and I want to leave every place that I go looking better than when I found it. And part of that is in 2024, I want to figure out how to, you know, create a little money pot at each one of these stops that I leave to the clubs and go, hey, you guys do upgrades, we'll be back next year. You know, I think that would be really cool.
Yeah, I think of, you know, many years ago, well, we saw various things at AM Worlds, and I know Joe Rotan, Twisted Flyer, kind of had a take on that, working with Innova and trying to, you know, have a basically a better course development fund, so to speak, and getting things that were a part of AM Worlds that left lasting, you know, residual positive impact after AM Worlds or Pro Worlds had already left the area. And that's kind of the same mentality. And I like that. Well, you know, a comment on the board, I'm going to shift it up a little from what was said, but do you feel like there is a premier division or divisions? You know, we know the Pro Tour is just two divisions. It's been that way. I think it'll stay that way forever. The two divisions that are featured are MPO and FPO. Now you have 32 total divisions, or whatever that magic number finally lands on. Do you feel there still will be a greater emphasis on any one or two or four divisions? Or do you really want to look at them as like, oh, it's 32 divisions, you're all equal in my eyes, and like, how are you going to do that?
Yeah, so as far as media, right, because that's been a big take, right? Mm-hmm. So that $85,000, all that includes is That's basically 6 rounds of golf at one of these 3-day events. So you can imagine that's 2 divisions. So my plan was MP40 and FP40. Okay. I think that will draw the most media views. However, I also am really open to the idea of if you raise the money, if you're the sponsor for the media, you get to pick who do you want filmed. I'm good because I want everyone to get exposure, right? Sure. Obviously, that's not viable. But in my eyes, I would love for one day to go, hey, all of you are being filmed. Congratulations. I hope you kill it. You know, but that's really expensive. Now you're talking about a lot of golf. And so my plan is the 40s, the pro 40 divisions. Okay. But like I said, if someone shows up and hands the money to me and goes, we want the 60s filmed, I'm like, cool, let's do it. You know, I don't mind that at all. And I think a change up of that, you're going to highlight different players. You're going to see some older names that haven't been highlighted in a long time, hopefully. And I think it'll be good. I think that, you know, another reason that I'm doing this is because a lot of my friends are on the cusp, if not already past this, where they can play this. And, you know, when you get into Masters golf, there's always that talk of, do sponsors really value Masters players? And currently, not really. Like, you know, they really don't, because they don't get the media attention. They don't get the advertisement. At the end of the day, it's a business and they need the exposure. So that's why they're paying you. And so the goal is to allow for those players to get the exposure where the sponsors go, hey, you know what? As long as you're still playing 40s to start out because you're getting filmed every weekend, we're going to pay you like your FPO or MPO. I think that that's the end game goal. And then as the money flows, hopefully we can hire 2 or 3 media teams and then all the pro divisions can be filmed. And then we can just keep growing that.
Yeah, I think that this is, you know, for maybe, you know, I know you talked to the Ace Run and those guys are awesome. But I think this is a good chance for up and coming media crews as well in local ones. If you know, you have Ace Run, if you have MP40 and FP40 covered, that if someone wants to show up and do MP50, because as we know, a lot of the guys that we're talking about, they span a few of these divisions. Yeah. Barry Schultz could play MP50 and Johnny McRae MP50. He'll probably play MP40, but we know what he can play.
Sure.
And a lot of the guys, Steve Rico, MP60.
Yeah.
Alex. Oh, sorry, Rico. No, Stevie's our age. So, yeah. But as we know, a lot of these guys can cover multiple divisions. So you could have an instance where your MP50 card maybe looks stronger than your MP40 card. So there is definitely potential for other media crews that maybe want to get their foot in the door for media to come out and film. This is great competitive golf. Just to get started.
Yeah, and cut your teeth get, like you said, get your foot in the door and, you know, go out and learn what it's like to do some filming. And there's plenty of golf to be filmed, and there's no better place to do it than on a tour like something you're doing. What, clearly you have a million things going on. I don't know how long before your puppy can actually send emails, but what are you looking at for expanding the team beyond one and then four furry legs beyond that? What do you have people in mind? Are there people that want to either volunteer and or, you know, find a way to be on board? What's kind of the plan?
Yeah. So currently the question is, how am I running the store and running these events all at the same time at a venue?
Sure.
Because I'm not sure that Sandra Richardson's going on the road with me next year, which really makes that a challenge. So I need to come up with a backup plan with that maybe as well. So I'm not sure. I've had a bunch of people, you know, say that if you need anything, reach out. But I'm like, yeah, I could really use you, you know, if you could just go on tour with me.
You know? Yeah, so, if you just drop everything else in your life and then be my sidekick, that'd be great.
Yeah, right. I've got a couch.
Yeah,
you know, it's really comfy.
Yeah, you got a
you
dog,
can sleep
a couch,
right there.
Friendly.
Yeah,
yeah. The dog is too.
I'll cover all the expenses. You just jump on the road with me. So, and you know what's crazy? I'm scared to offer that because I'll have people later coming up, and I'm like, sorry, I was just kidding. But,
Be careful who you invite in your mobile.
Depends on the person.
Right. we're going to need to do a background check. Yep, what's your credit? What's your, all the things. But yeah, so, I mean, there's a lot of people interested. You know, there's also a bunch of people that I think see where I'm trying to take this. And they're like, yeah, I would help you out for a cut of the business. And I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'm there yet. You know, nothing's even happened yet. All I'm doing is groundwork right now. We haven't even run the first event. We don't know if these events are going to fill. I truly believe that they will. I mean, I've picked the venues, the people to try to make this amazing. But yeah, as far as a team, as soon as the money starts flowing, I think then I can start posting, you know, potential job openings to be like, who wants to manage the Facebook page and tell all the Texas guys that we're sorry? You know, just simple things like that.
The Texas representative?
Yeah. I mean, God love them. I love Texas. You know, go big or go home. But I'm like, boys, you're going to have to calm down. It wasn't intentional. So, but yeah, I mean, it's been a lot. You know, I've been trying to keep up with the Facebook page. And, you know, that alone is a full-time job. Mm-hmm. And just taking people's negative feedbacks or negative comments or maybe sometimes very irrational statements and trying to reel them back in and calm them back down and be like, I promise this will be okay. And I'm a very rational person. You can email me and we can figure these little things out. This is not a big deal. And, you know, what's really cool about it being only me is nothing's set in stone. So if we run into a problem that I don't foresee and we need to change something, you know, you make an announcement and we go, hey, this didn't go great at this event. I think we should change it. What's everyone think? Or, you know, you just pull the trigger and you change it mid tour. The first year is going to be the hardest. Mm-hmm. And we're going to learn a lot. I'm going to learn more than I'm probably prepared to learn. So, I mean, I think it'll be great. But yeah. Job openings coming soon, so stay tuned.
Well, I guess I'll follow that up and lob this one up for you. What is something, and maybe clearly it's not quite a paid, it's paid in love and admiration and endless thanks. What is something that you feel like right now you could use the most help with? If somebody was like, hey, I've got some time, I've got some, you know, these skills, what's something you're like, man, I really wish somebody could just kind of help me or do this for me? Is there anything in particular?
Yeah, I need someone that is great with people, that can get on the phone or send an appropriate professional email and create and generate sponsorships and added cash to any business. I don't care how big. I don't care if it's a $50 sponsorship. I don't care if it's a $500,000 sponsorship. We need everything from start to the end. And I mean, I need somebody that's going, hey, have you thought of this sponsor? Or better yet, just go contact them and let me know if we got their money, you know, because I've got so many other things that I need to figure out that. And but the step one to make this work is out of cash. And, sure, you know, with me creating these venues, I'm not walking into a money bag at any of these original B tiers. So the $750 that's required for the B tier is actually my money. So, and obviously, I have no problem with that. Again, the goal is to have a sponsor for that. I'm putting up the money because I believe in this, and I'm willing to invest my own money to make this work. I'm committed to it, and I hope people realize that. It's bigger than just making a Facebook page and throwing together a schedule, even though that took literally a month and a half to do, start to finish. And, you know, waiting on state coordinators to get back to you is time consuming and will actually make you go crazy because else is on a different schedule than mine. And no one really understood that all these pieces were going into a huge puzzle. They was running one B tier in Michigan, one B tier in Florida, one B tier in San Diego. You know, they didn't realize that, guys, this is urgent. I need you to get back to me as soon as possible. And they're like, yeah, but we have a system and it's going to be 3 weeks. And so I was actually planning to release this probably close to a month ago. I was hoping to have this up and ready to go within 2 weeks or 2 days after the A tier schedule came out. And that just wasn't viable. And, you know, moving forward, I would love to work with the PDGA where maybe we could work like the Pro Tour and get our schedules and the majors figured out ahead of time. That way I don't necessarily have to go through all the state coordinators. I can get it approved by the PDGA and we can call them, you know, X majors or whatever we want to call them. So, but yeah, if anyone's good at collecting money and creating and generating sponsorships, I got a job for you.
I think if someone's that good, there's a few jobs for them in disc golf. But
yes.
But definitely yes. Reach out to Callie.
So going back to, yes. As you just said, some of that coordination, which is nothing short of insane and monumental in this huge effort. I think about the 50 or 60 events just in Wisconsin that take place and the coordination that happened year after year just for one state alone.
Yeah.
What were some or any of the conversations you had, whether it was with some of the higher ups at the PDGA, a master's committee, Jeff over at Disc Golf Pro Tour? Who did you have conversations with, and what did you learn in those conversations, you know, as you were trying to put this together?
Yeah. So Terry, you know me pretty well. I talked to Michael Downs the night before I released this.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So the PDGA had no idea.
Okay.
Wow.
But also I've been working with, you know, I've been working with Rebecca Duffy. I've been working with Alan Risley and, you know, Jeff Jacquois had, you know, heard some rumors. And so I think that a lot of the people knew that I was doing something. They just hadn't seen the end product. So, I had a very late conversation the night before I released the schedule with Michael Downs. And he was basically like, so how come you didn't, like, you know, work with us on this? And I said, to be honest with you, I wanted to show you a solution, not a problem, not just an idea. I wanted to go, hey, this is what I'm doing. I would love to have your blessing. I'm serious about this. I'm not afraid of hard work. I want this to work, because otherwise I'm not sure that the PDGA would have been really on board with it. They're like, cool, you want to do a master's tour? Sure. What does that look like? Instead, I slid it over and said, this is it, you know, and this is happening. I would also love your blessing for it. And, you know, he gave it to me immediately. He's like, this is great. This is what, you know, this is what we're looking for. We wish more people would generate things like this. As far as Jeff Spring, he and I had a conversation in Portland, Oregon. So Portland Open at, in the middle of this season. So yeah, early June. And I kind of ran this by him and, you know, he's like, well, we were going to do something for the Masters. And I said, okay. And I said, are you doing that here? And he said, well, no. I said, well, you better hurry up because I'm working on something. So, you know, and he's like, you know, maybe you have a position at the Pro Tour and maybe we can collaborate. And I do want to work on things like that. But again, you know, he's a super busy guy. He's got a lot on his plate. And now I really understand that. And I don't even have a team to help me. So I really understand that. But yeah, I think that down the road, I'm hopeful that the Pro Tour and the Masters Tour can work together. And, you know, it would be really cool if, you know, we were just the A tier side of all of these Elite Series events and Silver Series events. And so you go from like the Preserve, you know, and then you slide into the A tier event the following week. So then the venue gets twice as much love. Everyone's there, you know, if Sarah Hokum and Owen and anybody wants to play both, they don't have to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. They can literally just stay right where they are and the tour will come to them, which would be pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of questions and there's a lot of things we have to figure out. The first year is just, I want to make it happen. I want good reviews. I want the players happy. I want them to be excited about this. And the whole goal is to get them to come back. So,
yeah, I was going to say, I think the first year, like you said, is going to be the hardest because, as we know, mistakes are going to be made. You're going to make people angry. You're going to make some people happy, but the angry voices will be louder than the happy voices. They always are in every forum. Yeah. And so a lot of people are going to see negative things about the tour thinking like, oh, well, look at this, without seeing some of the or a bunch of the positives. So I think that in general, people will have to just understand that this being the first year, we, you know, everybody needs to take a deep breath. Everybody needs to focus and just
yes.
Take it with a grain of salt that look at how the first year or two of the Pro Tour went. I mean, the Pro Tour literally just lost, quote unquote, their first employee. Seth Fenley leaving, he's moving on to Latitude 64. He was employee number one.
Yeah.
Other than,
and he, you know, I mean, he's a huge part of the Pro Tour. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to see, have they announced who they're replacing him with?
I think it's still out there for, I don't know if there's been an announcement
official. I think there's going to be a similar but different role and position that's ultimately put together for some of the things he was doing, but then also maybe separate certain responsibilities. So I don't know if it's going to be a direct one-to-one replacement.
Yeah, Seth did a lot of different things for the tour, obviously, and I know that they're looking at outsourcing some of that stuff to some other outside companies. I don't say manufacturers because it's not, but other companies to do some things. And then he did a lot for the Pro Tour. Yeah. So I'm curious. We're curious as well. We'll be to see how that works.
Yeah. There's a lot of job postings on DGPT. If you head over there, and the PDGA also listing, that they're hiring. So one of the things that you were just mentioning is, you know, having the store, having the shop, you being a mobile unit in that, you know, what you've been traveling around all these last couple of years, being a, you know, on-site vendor, how much, you know, will you have to, I don't want to say just rely on that, but how much does that factor into this overall, you know, this overall chaos, I'll use for lack of a better term. And what I mean by that is, like, I think of I don't want to say the DD model, but very much, you know, RVs, you know, going to big events with a ton of merchandise, Jay Ray and Tyler, a couple of the guys that have done it, you know, famously. I think of what that's like to both Stephen Story, what that's like to run the events, but then also be a vendor and a TD and like just wearing all those hats. How do you see that unfolding for you, you know, from event to event?
Yeah, so I mean, Innova and I, for example, have been in discussion about, you know, they were also shocked by what I was working on. I didn't tell, again, I'm the type of person, I don't like to just show up with an idea or a problem. I come up with a solution and I go, hey, I already did this. It's ready to go. Just sign the check or sign the paperwork and we're good. You know, we're good to move on. But, you know, trying to figure out how me working for Innova and running this tour, how does that go hand in hand? That's a huge question. So I've got that whole separate issue going on also in the background. And, you know, my hope is that Innova jumps on board with this and we can, you know, make this happen and make it all work together. I also, you know, being the TD, I have to look out for the players. And I don't know that me being tied to one specific manufacturer benefits the players. So that's a whole nother bomb that I have to defuse over here. But wearing all of those hats, you know, I think that what I'm going to focus on is my plan is to do trophy only for the AMs. I haven't announced that yet. That's my plan, and to do really cool players packs, because the whole goal is to benefit the entire field. And when you're a Masters player, I don't know that the guy that won $1,000 in merchandise, does that really benefit everyone? You know, and all of that stuff, do they really want more stuff that they may or may not even throw and they just throw it in their closet? Or would they value, you know, a custom Disc Golf Masters Tour t-shirt and a jacket and a, you know, a koozie and a silly pint and like all of that stuff, things that they can use, things that, you know, I think that they would get more value out of that than, you know, a ton of payout. That these guys, if they want something, most of these guys can just go buy it. So I think that providing them really unique items is more valuable in the long run than doing payout. And then again, with payout, you know, if I'm Innova, that's, you're going to be stuck with Innova. And I don't know that, I think that you're going to get a lot of bad reviews because of that. I think a lot of people will be thrilled, but also you're not going to make everybody happy that way. So those are also things that I have to figure out. But yeah, wearing all of those hats, it's going to be interesting, and I'm going to have a team. And that may mean that I have to fly my dad out to help me every now and then. Or fly somebody else out that works in a pro shop somewhere, that, cause you know, I've made tons of connections and built relationships all across the country. And I've got people that I trust that I think will come to my rescue and, you know, and or help the tour without any questions. So like I said, in the beginning, we got to build it. You know, if you build it, they will come. I truly believe that. I believe that with sponsors. I believe that with the players. I believe that with the tournament directors. I believe that with the whole organization. So, but yeah, I'm just going to start where I am, and it'll be an everyday battle. And, you know, the other idea is to have a group of TDs and volunteers at each one of these stops ready and prepped for right when I roll into town. So that they just grab the tents and I'm like, go put this on hole one, put this one on hole two, put this one on hole three. And to begin with, they're going to have to do that because they want to. And again, you know, this tour, while it could benefit me financially, there's also a lot of other ways that I could make money easier. So, you know, I'm sure that some people are like, you know, what's she up to over here? But it is genuine. It's heartfelt. I want to do this. This has been needed for well over a decade. The Masters have been screaming and help for years. And I'm here with the flag to save them all, you know, and I want to build it and I want it to last. This isn't just a 1 year thing, 2 year thing, 3 year thing. I want this to be here for the next 50 years. You know, I want to be able to potentially sell this down the road when it's super productive and just have it continue. And then I can go do whatever I want to do. But yeah, just start from scratch and I will figure it out. Also, well, I'm not afraid of a challenge. So.
I think that's that way with any entrepreneur in general. You know, you're looking to start something. There's risks involved and there's potential big profits involved. I think that's what everybody who starts a business thinks. Yeah. You know, that some people start a business and maybe they want to run that business forever. Some people start a business and they maybe are looking at selling it in 10 years or flipping it or however, whatever the environment is. But yeah, you have a lot of potential pitfalls and money pits and things that you could run into that you haven't even, I know you, like I said, you've thought of 1,000 things this week. There'll be 1,000 more in the next month that that you didn't realize. And there is going
to be 1,000 more things tomorrow.
Exactly. And of course there is potential for you to make money. And as we've been saying in disc golf for forever now, we have to get over the mentality that it's okay to make money in disc golf. We can't continue to frown upon TDs that walk away with a few hundred bucks. It's like, cool, you've done a lot of effort. Or, like I said, the CEO of a new tour or however that works, if there's potential to be there, there's potential to lose a lot of money, too. So I think that is, I commend you. I think it's going to be difficult, and I think you're taking a lot on right now, and it's going to be fun for a lot of other people to watch.
Yeah. Well, what I think about is, like you just said, I think there's definitely a challenge in, and I'll go back specifically to the Next Gen Tour, which, because they had a large sponsor in the early goings in Latitude 64, jumped on very quickly in a very big way. For a little while, it felt like it was a Latitude 64 production of some sorts, which Latitude 64 loved, of course, I'm sure. And then I think Dave Felberg then realized, you know, branching out, having more companies involved at a greater scope, maybe, like you were saying, maybe made it a little bit more appealing. And that's where I think there's going to be a conversation with Innova and an understanding that, you know, is this an Innova based product that the tour is, and do they want to support it accordingly? Or is this your Cali, who happens to be sponsored by Innova and then is, you know, putting on the tour, which is bigger than just Innova being hopefully a supporter of it. I mean, those are all, again, bridges and crossroads that you're going to have to come to and then figure out where it's easiest for you. I've been there from, you know, we've been there from a media perspective, you know, and when we started Smashbox, Legacy very quickly stepped up and said, we'd like to make a huge contribution to get you guys off the ground. And Legacy was very quick to be that supporter and sponsor. But then as soon as we went to another event that wasn't Legacy based, they said, well, we don't know if we want that coverage because Legacy is supporting it and we're not Legacy. And it's like, yeah, I know, but that's how you get coverage. And they're like, eh, we still don't want it. Like, okay. So, you know, you're going to have to get through all of that.
A lot of different hats.
A Fun. Yes, all the things.
Where did, and I think you've answered this, but just to be clear, where do you see yourself in terms of vending, playing, competing, like outside of the weekends, or is this full time all you're concerned about at this point? I mean, are you signed up for events that you're playing in yet this year?
No. So Okay. Basically I'm retired.
Okay. Yep.
Retired at 25. Retired at 25. Ain't that's not a bad gig.
Yeah. Okay. So no, you know, and this is where I give, you know, I applaud Kristen Tatar and Paige Pierce and Katrina Allen and Jennifer Allen and Owen Scoggins and all of these people that have pioneered this sport and the FPO side. And, you know, they're all my friends, although Kat might deny that. But, you know, they're all my friends. And I mean, I can't keep up with them and do all these things. And, you know, they're putting in the time and effort. It's nonstop, 24/7. They're being, breathing, throwing disc golf, you know, and my heart and soul used to be in that. Mm-hmm. And it's not anymore. And that's just the nicest way to put it. But it's true. And, you know, if you don't love what you're doing, it's hard to be successful, especially as an entrepreneur, because no one's, you know, waiting on you to clock in the morning. So, and I just, it just lost the, you know, the thing that I loved, and it just doesn't drive me anymore. So, event coordinating is where my heart is. Sales are where my heart is. And genuinely growing the sport and creating longevity into this thing is very important, to me. And it always has been. I can remember, you know, when I was first on the road, super broke, and, bought my first, you know, 50 discs, and I flipped them in like a few days, you know, and I was like, wait a minute, you know, there might be something to this. And it's crazy because I was out there and I was living the dream, you know, Haley King and I were on the road, and, but I started getting sidetracked by that. I'm like, this is really cool. Like, you know, you get to teach people what the discs do. You get to explain what the stamp is. You get to explain who you're sponsored by, you know, and I just genuinely fell in love with that. And I just started buying discs and flipping them, doing it over and over and over and over. And then here we are, which is absolutely crazy. But yeah, you know, that's where my passion is. And when that's your sole focus, you can't compete with the way that at the level that these FPO players are playing now, which is a good problem. That's an amazing problem. That's great for our sport. And I applaud the FPO players for taking the sport where it is. You know, I can remember 3 years ago, no one wanted to watch FPO coverage. And now, like, the women have made it interesting. They're throwing shots that are really technical, very high level skilled shots that, you know, I can't do that. I'm not practicing. So I'm watching them throw these shots. I'm like, you know, when did that happen? When did this, you know, I was busy. I wasn't paying attention. When did we get to this level? And it's really fun to watch. I'm on their cards and I'm like, wow, you know, like high five, like this is cool. And I realize I'm like, I am so out of my element at this point because I've spent so much time doing other things that it slipped by. And does it suck? Does it hurt every now and then? Sure. Do I miss it? Occasionally. But my heart and soul is running an event. And actually, I'm on the road right now. I'm running a jungle tour, an end of a jungle tour. So I just ran a tournament in Atlanta Sunday, and then I'm running two events this next weekend, one in Charleston and then one in Savannah. Then the next weekend I'm running one at New World and then down in Gainesville, and then I'll head home for Christmas. Right after that, I'm running down to Foley, Alabama, then Mobile, and then I will head back up to Memphis. And then my parents have decided to move, so now I get to help with that while I'm trying to manage all of the Disc Golf Masters Tour things. Luckily, it's only like 20 minutes, 25 minutes away. But so I get to go, you know, move my storage locker at this point out of one house into another and help out with that. So lots of other things going on. My plan with the Masters Tour originally wasn't to take up all of my time, but seeing what it's grown into and seeing the initial interest, you know, that sparked something in me. And I want this done right. I don't want to half-ass this, excuse me. But this, you know, if you're going to do it, you need to do it right. And that's another reason that I'm not playing, because I'm not doing that right. And I don't think that that's fair to any of my sponsors to go out there and pretend like I'm, you know, just playing a casual round of golf. As much as I love it and I love all the competitors and they're my friends, I don't think that that does them justice.
Yeah, and I'll just, you know, double down on what you're saying in terms of, it's all right that your passion and your focus have shifted. You're still within disc golf. You found that, you know, the competitor in you isn't the same, you know, fire or doesn't have the same.
We've all tenacity. Done it. Everyone, yeah. Everyone on this conversation has done the exact same thing.
And so I think there's just, and I know you're accepting of that, but I think just to reassure that there's nothing wrong with that. And to know that disc golf is your love and your passion, and you're shifting your focus slightly from a player into more of an entrepreneurial and organizational tournament director role, and everything else that goes along with this. Those aren't the only titles, but there's nothing wrong with that. I think some people feel like, oh, I don't know why you would do that. You got to, like you said, you got to follow where your heart and your soul and your passion is. And if that means shifting your focus, I think you're just smart enough to recognize it. Too many people stay, whether it's at another job or within a job or within a division or whatever the case might be, at a job, you know, to never just instead just be grumpy, terrible humans. You're just shifting your focus. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Yes.
So
I appreciate it.
Yeah. Bless you for recognizing and then acting on it. Because like I said, so many people, I just think, you know, kind of just forcefully fight through it as opposed to finding a different happiness. Mm-hmm. So.
Definitely.
Where, you know, you mentioned it earlier, Instagram, Facebook, where are you considering right now kind of the main hub or portal or information board, whatever you want to call it? What's kind of like your main source of getting information out there? Where do you want people directed?
Yeah, so exactly what you just said. So it's Disc Golf Masters Tour, and it's a public Facebook group.
Okay.
Obviously, I did that because most of the generations that I'm targeting are on Facebook, not on Twitter, not on Instagram. So that's the main source for information. However, Instagram is super important for sponsors. Terry, you know that. So if you have an Instagram account or are willing to make one, please go follow it there as well. It's Disc Golf Masters Tour. Same thing. Super easy to find. And then I'm hoping to gain a bunch of emails as we have events through Disc Golf Scene. And then I'll just slowly start shooting out announcements through that. But until then, you know, I can't do that. So, but yeah, that's another way that I plan to contact people.
Okay. And inevitably, there's going to be conflicts from one event, you know, that might focus on these divisions versus another event. There's really nothing you can do about it at this point. As you said, you're kind of beholden to what the PDGA scheduling is, what a local tournament scheduling is. What is, maybe just reiterate, what is the route or the method if there is availability or a weekend that may or may not fit and an event or venue that may or may not fit? What's their course of action to reach out or to maybe even be considered or eligible? What do they need to do?
Yeah, so
for you.
Yeah, so if you want to get a hold of me, it's discgolfmasterstour@gmail.com. It's okay. That simple. Shoot me an email with information. Same thing for sponsors. Sponsors are super important. And like I said, it doesn't have to be a huge sponsorship. You know, if you're a small business owner, obviously I love small business, and you want to donate something as simple as a QR code on a business card with a discount code to throw in players packs. Like I'm totally cool with throwing that in. That just helps one in the sport. It doesn't cost a lot. Obviously, it doesn't add a ton to a player's pack, but it's important to grow the sport. So literally anything, you know, it can be a cash donation. And the other thing to keep in mind is if you want media in your area at an event, you need to go start fundraising, because I'm going to do my very best to provide it, but that's not guaranteed. So, and you know, even if I do get that money, the money that you raise can just be added cash and make the event even better.
Yeah. Excellent. And again, Ace Run guys are out there, which is awesome to see. They're here almost every Tuesday night hanging out with us. So we, of course, are excited to see what they can do. I guess this is maybe this is an obvious answer. You will likely be utilizing a PDGA.com for scoring more often than not. I was thinking about like the stats and the numbers that we see with UDisc, but then I think about all the different divisions and the madness with that. I'm assuming PDGA is probably going
to
be.
Yeah, PDGA for now. I do have that on the list of things to do, to reach out to UDisc, even if it's just for the 40s divisions or, sure. You know, I think we just need to start somewhere. And I just need to talk with them to what that entails, and maybe we could do it for every division. The other thing is you have to remember that some of these players may not have smartphones, and even if they do, they may not know how to use them. So, you know, it's a little different than what we're used to, and I'm going to bear with these guys, and if they need a tutorial on how to use their phone, I'm happy to give them one.
Well, the good thing is almost all events now have used PDGA Live for almost most of the divisions. So I think that part shouldn't be too big of a hurdle.
Correct. I think of both, you know, COVID certainly helping kind of push forward the digital scoring so much in the last couple of years that it's become that much more just commonplace. I mean, Tom McManus, you're out there, Tom, PDGA 1276, right? Tom, you use the digital celly phones. You're listening, Tom. I mean, your ear, Tom, are you listening?
Oh, Lord.
All right. Any totally open floor, anything else you either want to, you know, dispel any rumors, do you want to clarify anything, you want to get out in front or anything at all, totally open floor for anything else?
Yeah, there's been a few people that have been upset about events that I've set up that may be, you know, overlapping or shadowing other events. And I want to make sure that everyone knows that that was not intentional. You know, I was doing this on my own, and these are big private events and big private venues that I had to reach out to. And, you know, it was really hard to schedule around the Pro Tour and the majors and try to come up with my own events because they're just B tiers and work around all the A tiers. It was very difficult to come up with. It was like the most difficult jigsaw puzzle I've ever done in my life. And if you are hurt by anything that's happened so far, I want to apologize. That was not ever my intentions. And I hope that you can see that there's a bigger picture here, and hopefully we can work together in the future and make this a positive thing, not a negative thing.
Yeah. Again, the coordination alone is
mind bending.
It's crazy. and then final event, final weekend, championship weekend, all that stuff are they playing for a overall series championship for points at the very end? Is that kind of how it works? Similar to what we see with the Pro Tour, give us the finale weekend, maybe a quick high level overview.
Yeah. So the goal in my mind is to have $50,000 out of cash for that event, which obviously that's a big dream. And hopefully we get more than that, but it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of coordination and just working to build value in this. And I'm hoping that within the first few months, hopefully it highlights this tour enough that we can get additional sponsors that maybe had doubts in the beginning. With that, you know, Ridge Roller has reached out, and obviously this is a great tour for a kart company to be involved in. And I'm hoping to potentially, you know, do a custom kart to the tour winners or something really cool for the AMs. And, you know, he's reached out and he's made a point where he told me his dream was to, you know, build carts in front of people and show up with a trailer of parts, and you literally can build your own custom cart in front of people. So there's a lot of cool things that have never been done before that are kind of coming together. And, you know, I'm hoping to make this a big deal. I want the finale to be absolutely huge. In, you know, communication with Squatch, they're very interested. So we've got a lot of big companies that are interested, and I'm hoping to blow it out of the water and make sure that people are excited about the following season.
Location and weekend, has that been selected and finalized in terms of your finale or no?
Yeah. So Yeah, it's going to be at North Cove. It's October 19th through the 22nd, I believe, right off the top of my head. And the reason for that, because there's been some questions on that. So that's 2 weeks after USDGC, which typically I'm in the area, and 1 week after the Disc Golf Pro Tour finale, which means both of those are in North Carolina, and then this will also be in North Carolina. So that's the reason for that. North Cove, if you haven't been there, it's in Marion, North Carolina. It is an absolutely beautiful venue. You've got a very large disc golf course, or excuse me, ball golf course going through there, and they've installed three disc golf courses. It has creeks and rivers running all through the property. I mean, it's one of the prettiest venues I've ever been to. And at that time, it should have the leaves changing on the trees, and it should be absolutely perfect. So I want to thank Kyle for helping with that. He owns the North Cove venue, and I'm super excited. That's actually where Germ just got married. So if you want to look at that, you know, that might give you an idea of how beautiful that place is.
Wow, it must be magical. Somebody put a ring on Germ's finger, so it's got to be a magical place. I mean, very special.
Oh, Lord.
We love big German jewels. All right, well, Callie, I know your night, I'm sure, isn't even close to over, even though it's after midnight there on the East Coast. You've got a ton of stuff to do.
She just started the day.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. We can't say enough that, first of all, thank you for picking this up and running with it. Year after year, our people have said, our Masters age players usually have said, we really need a Masters tour. Let's make it happen. And I keep saying, yeah, go run one. And nobody picked up that offer. And
it took someone 25 to
exactly,
do it.
Exactly. And here you did it. And so for that, we very much do love and appreciate it. We wish you nothing but all the success in the world. Obviously, you know, I'm just a Facebooks or a YouTubes or a tweets or whatever away. So if there's anything I can help with, make sure you reach out to us and we'll do everything we can. Even thinking ahead, if there's a regular check-in or maybe a segment of some kind that, you know, weekly that we can provide for you here on Smashbox, that'd be kind of a fun thing to do, a little Masters tour check-in or update after every event you have or something like that. Make sure that we get all the love shared out there. We'll talk about all that stuff. You've got plenty
lots
of things to...
Yeah.
But thank you so much for joining. Good. Hopefully the world knows that much more about the Masters Tour now, and they'll still probably have questions. But again, go out to Facebook, read a little, you know, or even search button, because it's probably been asked.
I'm just going to post.
Read. Please read the post. Yes.
No, just do a little bit of reading, people. Callie, again, we wish you the best of luck. And if there's anything we can do to help out, just let us know.
Yes. Thank you very much for having me. And thank you for all the kind words and the support, because I'm going to need it. I appreciate it a ton.
Well, you got this. We're in your corner.
Yeah.
Best of luck to you. And we'll talk soon. Thanks for coming on tonight.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Bye. Ooh, I just thought of a stupid question. Let me message her.
She has bitten off a lot.
Yeah.
And, I mean, she's a go-getter. She's an entrepreneur.
Yep.
I think she should, hopefully, she's got a lot of ducks to get in a row. I'll say that. And,
for sure.
And I'm excited to see how this does pan out for a myriad of reasons, you know, one of which, as you said, we've heard for now for a few years, since really the Pro Tour has come up, that the Masters would always like a piece of that, and now they're going to get their version of it. So I'm curious to see how many competitors hit, you know, I don't think she'll have a problem filling out some of these events. Mm-hmm. The question is, who's going to get the tour? Is this going to be kind of, you know, 3 to 4 different small regional tours that kind of end up being a bigger tour? Or will people travel 8, 10, 12, 14 hours to hit some of these other events? I'm really curious to see where it goes.
Well, I'm personally calling out one Steve Rico right now. Steve, get your ass on this tour. You keep talking that we're not seeing enough of you. There's not enough shine and polish and spotlight.
There's not a lot of Steve to see. It's kind of small.
Well, I'm just saying there hasn't he wants to bask in that spotlight for being the superstar player that he is, and we all know that he is. Here's your chance. Get out there, dominate this tour, and we'll be seeing you then probably week in and week out. So I am personally, he says, nobody cares about the Masters. There's an entire
Callie
tour.
Does.
There's an entire tour designed for you. Let's see you on it every single week. That's what I want to see. I also want to say, if we're talking about someone that's eligible for Masters, we've seen what she's been doing this year. One Sarah Hokum celebrating her birthday today, specifically today, December 6th, still, depending on where you are in the country. But happy birthday to one
world
Sarah
champion,
Hokum. Yes,
Sarah Hokum.
Put some respect on that name.
speaking of world champions, there was a big announcement right after our show last week.
A couple of them, including this Masters Tour.
I'm talking about world champions right now. I mean, not that some world champions won't be playing this Masters Tour, as we know they will be. Paige Hsu announced a change in sponsorship. She's departing from Dynamic Discs, which is, I think, a kind of big deal. She is a 2018 world champion. Mm-hmm.
2010
junior world champion.
Don't you dare forget that.
I didn't know the year. I knew she was a junior world champ. I didn't know the year. I wasn't gonna.
Same year as Rick.
Year as Rick. But
and Wiggins.
Her dad is currently CEO or president of Dynamic Discs, and I think there was a lot made last year when Kona left Innova for DD, and
considering her father holds a position,
a relatively big position with Innova, and Doug holds probably an even bigger position in DD, and his daughter is going to be choosing what sounds like a different sponsor of some sort. And she hasn't announced what is in the future, what type of sponsor. It might not be a disc manufacturer. We could see it be anything else, but I find it very interesting to see that Paige Hsu is leaving Dynamic Discs and hopes to be out on tour more next year.
Yeah, which to me, like you said, there is definitely some similarities that you can draw in that it feels, because we've been around for a little while and we're a little bit set in our old ways here, it feels almost crazy to think.
Never guessed it.
Yeah, when you think of Paige and her father and her mother who works there and her going to school there and just her, you know, the symbiotic relationship she's had, you think of Paige and you think of
she worked at the warehouse. She worked at the store.
Exactly.
They are synonymous. The Bjerkuses, or now Hsu.
Yeah.
And Dynamic Disc. And so I am excited to see what she has, what she is doing. Cause I would hope that if she left, maybe she already has something lined up that she just hasn't reached out, or not reached out, but hasn't announced yet. And it was really nice because Dee Dee put out a great video honoring Paige and a little history about, you know, when she got on the team, and Emac was in it and Jeremy Rusko was in it. And it kind of laid it out, and it was very heartfelt. You can tell that this is a separation that both sides are really like, cool. It's going to be
still on good terms.
It's going to be best for maybe both parties. So
yeah, and it'll be interesting to see exactly what her, I was going to say touring life, but what her golf life looks like. She's graduated with a degree in the last year or two. She has now a child. She got married just a couple of years ago. I mean, she's gone through all of the major life changes and milestones, or not all of them, but many significant life milestones here in the last couple of years. And we haven't seen her playing as much due to those other reasons, which makes perfect sense, of course. So I'm interested to see, what does this mean for Paige Hsu on tour, assuming she's going to have a different manufacturer sponsor and that she'll then take that on the road? Because to get another manufacturer to then play the same or even less golf seems unlikely.
Seems silly.
At that point. So I think what this really means is there's probably going to be more Paige out there on tour, is what I would assume. Again, I guess we'll just kind of hold our breath until we find out more. But of course, we wish nothing but the best of luck for her, and excited to see what comes of this overall. And I thought I had other sponsor news that's now just slipping my mind. It is, and it'll come to me 3 minutes after we log off. So I'll think of it for then. I had other thoughts too, and
wow.
I should have wrote them down. I was just thinking earlier as we were wrapping up.
I should do prep work.
No, it wasn't even prep work. It was like, I've got other thoughts for later, and then I totally spaced out on whatever those thoughts were. I don't know that I have a lot more for a regular show, and if I do think of it, it'll have to be part of the after show. But I think that's about all that we have out here, isn't it?
It really is.
I mean, I think that's a pretty jam-packed night full of good good information.
Two great interviews.
I know one of the other quick thoughts that I had was that I believe the new a new episode of On Tour came out
yesterday.
Today's Tuesday. I keep thinking it's Monday. My apologies. But a new episode of On Tour came out. I saw a lot of positive things written about it. I did not get a chance
to download
it or watch it in this case, but I know that's out. And spoiler, tomorrow I'm going to be recording a couple of Wednesday rewatches with a few of our champions from various events this year. Ooh. There's two of them that I'm going to be recording back to back, one male, one female. And looking forward to recording
those. Don't spoil it for me, bro. I always think those are live.
I know. Well, they have been, actually, but now not this year. So look for, those I think are going to start coming out. I don't recall the actual release schedule, but I think it's going to be another month or so before those start coming out. But we're going to have some Wednesday rewatches. In the meantime, On Tour is going to continue to unfold, I believe, now every Monday from here on out for the next three.
For the next three, I believe you.
Which should be the last three.
I think there were 8 episodes.
Oh, I thought there were 6.
Were there 6? Oh, maybe you're right. Maybe there are 6 episodes.
I don't know. Neither of us know.
That would make sense.
We don't work.
I don't.
We're not
employed
by the Pro Tour.
No, but I do know that Corey and Jamie Thomas did like an AMA on Reddit. So if you want to, if you're interested in some of their history or the information of the On Tour behind the scenes show, then maybe you could go out and look at the Reddit thread. I breezed over it right when they kind of started answering some questions, and then I just tailed away. So, but please, by all means, go promote and check that out.
Funny, I'm getting a notification via the Instagrams that somebody was hacked, who was kind of an odd message this weekend about trying to something about clothing company and going to some platform and all this other stuff. And I was like politely like kind of replying along, then just to have the gentleman reach out and say, whoa, these messages earlier, I was hacked.
It's
kind of funny to see that. All right. I've got some random stuff for the after show. And
great.
Of course, we're going to have our giveaways and all that other stuff as usual. But I think that's about it. I'm going to get another quick plug in either tonight or maybe tomorrow. I'm going to put up some information. I teased it out in the last week or two that I think we're going to move forward with a chaining in the new year, a flex start in Northern Illinois, Southeastern Wisconsin area. So would love to see so many of you for the flex start that's going to take place. Also,
is it going
to
be warm?
I'm pretty much guaranteeing it.
You're guaranteeing warm weather, like 50 to 60?
Warm is relative. I'm a bigger guy. What's warm to me might be a little chilly for some. But yeah, it'll be great weather. You should definitely, everyone should come out and play on New Year's Eve. We'll have to come up with some crazy games in addition. Yeah, anyway. And then also this weekend, I am excited to partake in an event that actually took place last year that they did. I want to find the official naming of it, but essentially it's a Flymart, Swapmart, disc golf collection, you know, type thing taking place down in Illinois at Workforce Brewing. And I was going to try and find the official title of it, but it's going on this weekend and I'm looking forward
to. And a lot of people coming in, like it's a Flymart, bringing this particular Flymart, is it stocked plastic or is it more selective discs? You know, are you going to find more likely maybe a little bit more collectibles, or can an average person show up and be like, hey, I'm just looking for, you know, I'm looking for 2 trespasses?
Yeah. So, okay. I'm going to give you some official titling. It's called the Holiday Disc Swap. Sunday, December 11th from noon to 5. Bring new or used plastic or disc golf related items, door prizes, and of course, great beer, food on site from Happy Belly. 25 vendors, Disc Golf Guy being one of them. And that's taking place. That's in Plainfield, Illinois. And there are, well, like you just said, there are 25 different vendors that have reserved tables. And so every vendor will bring something a little bit. Last year, there were a ton of really unique non-discs. So there was some artwork there. There were just a lot of different things that were made, some homemade things. And then you, of course, have plenty of people with collectibles. Plenty of people with super high valuables, a lot of dyeing companies that do a lot of different dyes and things of that nature, whatever you're into. I did bring, we'd showed up with a lot of stock merchandise, not really knowing what to expect. So I had a ton of stock merchandise. This year, I think I'm going to focus a little bit more on some custom stamps, also bring a little bit more in terms of apparel, hats, things of that nature, and stuff that's a little bit more unique and not necessarily focus on a stock Zeus or Destroyer or Trespass, but more so some a little bit more custom things. Speaking,
it's good
to
know.
Boy, oh boy! Today, I picked up just shy of 200 bins, plastic bins, which normally wouldn't excite most of you, except for I'm talking about the larger gray bins that you see a lot of our vendors. You go to in a lot of events and you see vendors that then are storing anywhere from 30 to 40 discs in these really heavy duty, usually gray, sometimes black bins. Well, I've managed to hunt down another 200 and I then took quite a few discs that were in storage and in boxes and finally took them out of boxes and put them into said bins where they're much more protected. And oh my God, did I find a lot of gems. I had to stop myself from taking pictures and getting a little too excited because I found...
All right. Tell us at least one gem that you found.
I will tell you that it was, I did not know that I apparently acquired or ordered more than 100 proto Zeus discs that are the prototypes from Discraft.
The Kongs?
Well, they didn't say Kong, but they had the prototype stamp, and then I had first runs. But apparently I acquired more than 100 of the prototype Zeus.
Because I've got a box of five
that
Kongs
had Kong written
that literally
on.
Had... Well, the box has Kong. I've never opened the box.
Oh, well,
so.
You should look and... Yeah, presumably they probably say Kong in the engraving.
Oh, we'll have to look after the show, Terry.
Anyway, that was just... I didn't realize I had so many first-run Lunas. And just an absurd amount of goodies. I found plenty of Innova, plenty of Discraft. It was just good getting some of this stuff even more securely positioned over into some of these bins. So, yeah, I will pay a lot of money for some Proto Hades. Danny, you don't have enough money for all the Proto Hades that I found. I have a lot of them. But anyway, that's again for... another.
This is Terry teasing people, by the way.
It did get me excited to see, like, holy cow, I didn't know I had this many. And so many dozens of four-time claw Undertakers and Forces and Steel Buzzes and Zones. I had more than I even realized. It's good to know.
Let's wrap this up, Terry Bear.
All right. Thanks for joining us tonight, guys. We had a great time. We had a chance to catch up with our good friend, Double G. I don't know how you can't love that guy. It was so fun to watch this weekend. And again, hats off to the entire Chainhawk crew, Chris and James, just the entire crew. It was all hands on deck, as I would expect. We never did mention the winners. Double G was the winner. AJ Carey in second. Gavin Rathbun in third. Jared Stoll in fourth. So thank you to Double G for joining us tonight. I know he had a busy night of stuff going on, so I was glad he could jump in. And then Callie McMorrin, we said it, biting off a monumental, just an insane amount of work, but she's fearless and she's got a lot of support, and we're looking forward to what she can do with it. And we're going to finally see a Masters age tour take place. We've been calling for it for a lot of years. Somebody had to step up and do it. And, she's answering that call, and we wish her nothing but the best in anything we can do to help her out. So thank you, everyone, again, for Johnny V. I'm Terry Miller, the Disc Golf Guy. The after show, we've got some stuff to give away. We've got some other silly stories. We'll see you then when you step inside the Smashbox.
Thank you to our $2 and above patrons. Your name is listed below in the credits. If you are interested in being listed as a producer in the Smashbox TV credits and supporting this and other fine podcasts, please visit patreon.com/smashboxtv.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.